United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Well, Hey, good morning, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and you would be surprised what goes on here when you guys are not, when I'm coming up. It's amazing. Hey, today is the 22nd of April, 2014. Looks like it's going to be a gloomy day outside. And, oh, can anybody find the sun? It was so beautiful yet for the last couple of days. I really, really enjoyed it. And I know it's spring, but can't we have, like, spring and rain and sun at the same time? You know, that kind of thing. You know, does it have to be cold and dry and gray? Help me out. Listen, it's going to be open mic today, and Jeff will be here sometime this afternoon. What's later on this morning. But I am, I got some things on my mind that I'm going to bring up, and I want you to chime in if you don't mind, because I don't know if you guys know how bad it is for me. You know, you need to pray for the guys that are around here. Because I do. I have issues. Things happen and things go on, and you would not believe what people do. And so I want to talk about some pretty in-depth topics today, because I just have some, issues. Pray for me. The number again is 347-945-5229. It will be an open mic today, so I do want to hear from you. Well, let me tell you about my day yesterday. Yesterday I went to Cleveland, and it was a very, very nice day to travel. And I went up for a follow-up, and I stayed there. They're very, very hospitable. And for as long as I stayed there, they made me pay for full-day parking, which was really bad. And I was like, hey, I've only been here like 15 minutes. Can I get a break? And I've got to go back in a couple months, and I want to thank Sticks because I think he did a wonderful job yesterday. And so I was in and out trying to make things happen yesterday while I was up there. And, it was I look at our health care, and in the conversation that I had with several people up there, you know, people are upset because they feel as though people are getting away with nothing. And so people are working, they're paying more, they're struggling to get by. And they feel as though there are people out there who are not working as hard as they are, who are not struggling like they are, yet are receiving all the benefits. I mean, people are right now getting their tax returns back, and there's a lot of child earned income credit coming back, earned income credit. What happens when you have children and you're getting money that you did not necessarily put in, which makes no sense to me, but I don't know how that works. And if anybody can call me and tell me how that really works, I'd appreciate it. Because I'm really confused. Because I'm not quite sure how you can take something out of the system that you didn't put in and then call that a fair economic system. But nevertheless, you know, and healthcare is, you know, their coverage is going up. Everybody's talking about their premiums are going up, especially those people that are working that were has an employee buy-in, because those are the ones that seem to be hit the hardest right now. And so they're going up, and then they go to the doctor's office, and they're waiting an inordinate amount of time because they have to take off from work to go to the doctor's office. So they're a little bit upset about that. And then they get there, and they can't get in to see the doctor because his office is so full now. And they're like, what am I paying for? What am I getting here? And they were talking about they went to the, you know, the emergency room the other day, and how overwhelming the price was for just going in because of a problem. And I was telling them how much my bill was for while I was in the hospital also. And it's really not – people are not paying attention to all of the little tiny details that's frustrating people. And then now we want to come up with income inequality. And I know that there are a lot of people out there making a lot of money, and they make a whole lot more than I do. And there are a lot of people out there who are working very hard, and it doesn't seem like they're getting ahead. But we have gotten into this covetousness, this I don't have it, you shouldn't have it, so we shouldn't have it together mentality here in America that really, really needs to stop. That everything is equal, that everything is a right, that I have the right to do whatever I want to do, and I don't have the responsibility to do anything for anyone about anything that I do. And this keeps on going on and keeps on taking on, it keeps on pushing on, and then we wonder what's wrong with our society at large. We got a young boy who was found inside of an airplane and inside of the wheels that go up and down. And he made it. And now they're talking about airport security. And I'm like, well, my question is not airport security. My question is, why was there a little boy inside of an airplane without his mama? That's my question. I'm just saying. I mean, maybe I'm wrong about this. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I do want to talk to you. But that's my, I mean, I got this wrong, but I want to know, how do you lose a child who actually flies that far? And you don't know where he is at that age. How does that happen? And what are you going to say about the parents? Just checking. And just little things like that. Nothing overwhelmingly, you know, this is not rocket science. There is a family that is suing the school district and a superintendent, seeking to have the phrase "under God" removed from the pledge that students say every day. See, that's what I'm talking about. I had a conversation, and I don't know where I was, about the difference between, and I don't know if it was Eric yesterday. I don't think it was, but the difference between democracy and a republic. And I think it was yesterday. It was a good conversation that Eric brought up, that the democracy, or it might have been the gentleman from Texas, and I wanted to elaborate on that because that stayed on my mind. The understanding that no matter, I think that was Styx too, then no matter the mob, no matter what people come up with, they should be able to go with, which is just ludicrous. And Americans are going to have to absolutely stand up and take their country back. They're going to have to do that. If they don't do that, they won't make it. I don't think we understand that. Americans are going to have to take responsibility for the country that God gave them. Those of us who are believers are going to have to stand up and say, foul. You can't just sit back and just wait for something supernatural to happen. You've got to have to do something. And we've gone too far. And, you know, when I look at the legalization of marijuana, when I look at the children's rights, when I look at the overwhelming spending, I don't think we understand just how dangerous of a world we are living in. And because of the dangers of the world, it is going to come back, and eventually it's going to hurt us. And it may hurt us faster than you think. And why we're not concerned about our future and about our children, it doesn't surprise me, but it does baffle me. Because any nation that would kill its future in the womb is a nation that probably will not see to exist in the future. But those of us who know better should do better. I'm keeping this somewhat light because I've got a problem. Because someone said something the other day, and it hit me in the gut, and I don't know how to deal with it. I think sometimes we are our own worst enemy. We choose not to do better. We choose not to make our future better. We like division. We don't want to see freedom. We don't want to see our children free. We like the separation. It's really getting to me. Hey, good morning, Stanley. How are you?
Good morning, Tracy. Happy Easter. Sorry I didn't say that to you. Things like that.
What's that?
I'm listening.
Say that again.
Happy Easter.
Oh, happy Easter. You don't believe in Easter?
No, I don't believe in Easter, but everybody celebrated, so. I don't believe in the thing, but anyways, I'm listening to what you're saying in the beginning. There's many things I do agree. Yes, we need to be more responsible and everything, but the thing I don't agree, and I think that believers, you don't get, is when people are saying we need to take out in God we trust, I don't see no difference in that. That's the major issue. If tomorrow we decide to take in God and trust and take all the God things, like you're saying, responsibility and accountability could still be done. That has nothing to do with
response. But Stanley, this is the issue. Just because the majority of people want it doesn't mean it's good for them.
Why? Tell me. If you're telling me, if I have the choice between responsibility and accountability and God and trust,
No, Stanley. Come away from the phrase. Come away from the phrase. Just because the majority of people want something doesn't mean that it's good.
I agree. But
okay.
I'm asking you, what is the difference if we take it tomorrow? Like, you sounded like you started your speech and everything, saying we need to be more responsible and accountable. That's what I said.
I'm just saying overall, Stanley, I'm talking about you live here in America. Your family came here because they wanted to be here,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's wonderful. And, you know, there are families that came here because they wanted to be here, and there are families that came here because they were brought here. But nevertheless, there's a reason for being here, and people are living well because they are here.
I agree with you. We all those things.
Oh,
but
agree.
I do
and,
not.
And so
but,
so
but,
if you come, no. Listen to what I'm saying. If you come here,
mm-hmm.
and you like it here,
mm-hmm.
You should not change it just because you are here. So the new language of America should not be Spanish, because you have an overwhelming population of Hispanics.
I know that
you speak Spanish, and that is your primary tongue. But just because it's your primary tongue does not mean it should be the language of a nation, no matter how many people are here, because you came here to America. You came here to America, and we have had the word God imprinted all over.
No, we didn't.
Hold on, Stanley. The Ten Commandments have been all over our school buildings, all over our all over. I'm serious. It's just been, when you got here, it was that way. Whether you like it or love it, it is what it is. It's been like that.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you're here, because you want it to, you want it to change, because now you say, well, listen, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in speaking English, and I don't believe in America the way it is. I think we should change it. And so a lot of people get together and say, okay, let's change it. Well, if you change it to what you change it into, you will not be where you expect it to be. And that's what's wrong with America right now. What's wrong with America right now is the America that people drink water to come get, we're changing into something else. And it's not to our benefit. You may not believe in God. You may not like the God we believe in. You may think that it is the worst thing that happened since sliced bread. But whatever it is, you came here because you wanted to be here. And so now that people are here and we have, I think the young man talked about a democracy versus a republic. We are doing what the population wants. So it's a popularity contest instead of a republic. And we need to know the difference, and we need to actually exercise our rights in that. Because if we keep on right now, we want marijuana to be legal. But I can't get young people jobs because they can't pass a urinalysis test. We want all our kids to have freedom of expression. So I can't get young men to pull up their pants and not show me their underwear when they walk down the street. We want to give kids rights, and so when they go to school now, they can curse everybody out, and we don't say anything about it because they have rights. They should be able to express themselves. That's what I'm talking about, Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
That's it's not about, you know, whether you believe in God or I believe in God. That's not what this is. What this is you came here because you said somebody said something was good here. And now that you're here, you're going to try to change where you came from. So if you keep on changing it to where you came from, it won't be where you came. And if you look at the freedom of America, right now we are no longer the same America that we once were. In all the bad that America's ever done, we are becoming worse. And I'm going to take a break, and I want to hear what you have to say, because I will say this. I had a conversation over the weekend, and somebody told somebody, don't forget to stay black. And I'm going, what does that mean?
I don't know what does that mean.
So if I go to college and I get an education, what does it mean for me to stay black with my education? What does that mean? And so that's what I'm talking about. So you don't have to believe in the God that America believes. You don't have to believe in the God that I believe in. That's your choice. That's what makes America great. You don't have to believe in this. But you can't change it because you don't believe in it. We'll be right back.
Do you find yourself constantly tired? Do you have pain, migraine headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our Crisis Stabilization Unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
We're back, and you're listening to Racing Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I have Stanley on the phone. It's open mic. It's open conversation. And I'm talking about America is supposed to be what it is. And we keep on changing it and evolving it. And then I get conversations and somebody says, you know, stay black. What does that mean? And I'm going, huh? I mean, I'll always be the skin in the skin I'm in, and I will always love who I am and where I come from and my people. But what does that mean? So, Stanley, you had a comment because you were saying that, you know, about the God thing, and I'm going, it's not about God. I mean, you people can believe it. That's what makes America great. Just because you believe it, you can stay where you are. You don't have to conform to believe and or to do anything that you choose not to. That's America.
But the thing is, I don't see no difference if we take it out. It, compared to what you, the other thing that you're saying, when it comes to language, English is the language we decide in this country to speak, and you should confirm it. God has nothing to do. Responsibility and accountability has nothing to do with God. If tomorrow we decide to take out the God thing in all the bills that we have and everything, it would not change anything.
But Stanley, what I'm saying is, and this is, listen to what I'm saying. It's not about it making a difference or not. It is the way that it has been for over a couple hundred years. So now you no longer want to have it. And so now we say, well, we shouldn't do it that way.
Okay.
So now we've always said, I mean, it has always been of common across the globe even, but of common nature, that men and women would always be married. Now, I will say this. Men and women have been sleeping together for since the beginning of time. They've been doing that. But that does not mean that we've not called the, you know, marriage between a man and a woman. It is. But, I mean, that's – so you can't just change it because now you've come up with this new way of thinking.
Yeah, but you can't give the option to one people if the other people doesn't have the same right. That comes to that. If it was they're asking just to have the same right as us, and who is
no, that's not what they're asking for anymore.
Well, that's what they're asking. They're asking basically to say, I want to be, we're together, men to men and women to women, and we want to have the same right to basically say that we love each other and get married and get all the advantage that comes when you're married.
But that's not what they're asking for anymore. That's not what they're asking for. If you gave them all the rights in the world, they still want to be married. They want the affirmation
of marriage. Yeah, they want to be, basically, they want to have the same right as you and if you and
no,
me got married.
No, Stanley, they're not asking for that. They're asking to call it marriage. They no longer want civil rights. They no longer want equal access. They no longer want that. They want marriage.
Okay, and even if we tell them that they're married, what change would that do?
But you missed my point. If you like things the way that, you missed my point. My point is you can do what you choose. You don't have to conform to the way that it is because you can live with someone and you can have equal access under the law. But if we offered it to them, they still would not want it. Go ahead, Kobe the man.
Yeah, I was going to say that I think here in America we have both a democracy and a republic.
We can't have both.
Well, we do have both because in states where you had legalization of marijuana, Washington and Colorado, there's a process, and it happens in a lot of states. You have a referendum on a ballot in which people can get a one-man, one-vote decision on how to have a law in their country. Here in California, we had Proposition 13, which limited the raising of property tax. You cannot raise a property tax. And that was celebrated by people on the right. It was democracy. It was one man, one vote. It decided, right? And so it happened. But we do have a republic. A republic
where?
Is the United States Congress and the Senate. And,
that's
and
not a republic.
Please explain to me what that is.
I don't know what we have in Washington right now. But that's not a republic.
Okay. Well, according to the Constitution, it's a republic.
No, because remember, Covina, what I'm saying is we're no longer going by the Constitution. We're throwing that out every day.
Okay. Let me finish my point then. As I was saying, we have a Democrat and a republic.
You can't have both.
I'm saying we have both. I'm just saying we have both according to the Constitution. Tracy might have
we don't
her
have
own
both.
Opinion. Tracy may have her own opinion. I'm just going by the facts.
That's not a fact. We don't have both.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. I just explained.
Because
to
your explanation is way off. We can't have both. Because right now we're heading into mob rule.
Okay, Tracy, that's fine. I'm not objecting to what your opinion is. I'm just stating what my opinion is. Let me finish my statement and my opinion. I was trying to base it on the facts, but you don't, and not accepting the facts. That's fine. But anyway, what we have on it, almost finished.
You can't get smart in the middle and then try to make a point. It doesn't work that way. It may work on other people, but it doesn't work that way with me.
Tracy, I asked you, if we don't have a republic, what do we have? And you got stuck.
Right now we have chaos.
Okay, we have chaos. But I'm saying according to the Constitution, we have a republic. Tracy says it's chaos.
According to the Constitution, we should have a republic. But we don't. That's
okay,
the point.
I'm not quibbling. Okay, Tracy, I'm not quibbling with you with that.
But Tracy, why are you saying that we don't? Because we, like he's saying, basically, we vote
because
on
we
the
don't,
office.
We no longer have a representative government. We no longer have rules set in order, and we no longer have standards. When you take away the Constitution, when you take away
the people the people that we vote in are they represent us, right?
No, they don't.
They don't represent us. So we vote people on and they don't represent us.
That's correct.
They don't come. They don't. They don't come to election and say we're going to do this, 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 and then
and
the
they,
people
and,
decide.
And they don't. And they don't listen. They don't represent you. That's correct. They show up, but
Whoa.
They don't correct you. They get paid, but they don't correct you. Absolutely. Hi, South Carolina.
Well, hold on, Tracy. Let me finish my point.
You say something smart. Go ahead.
Let's try to say something. It's, okay, this is a court. Okay, we're supposed to have a constitution. We got a democracy. That's on one side of the spectrum. On the other side of the spectrum, what we also have is oligarchy and aristocracy. Right. That's all that also exists in this country. We have the rule of the wealth and the rule of the powerful. That also exists within the democracy, within the republic. That also exists. All those things actually exist. But what you have is one party representing the party of the republic and the democracy, and another party representing.
Oh, Covina, man, you know what? I'm really not in a stupid conversation today. I'm really not.
How is that stupid?
I'm not doing stupid. That's just stupid conversation. I'm not doing it. Good morning, South Carolina.
Good morning, Tracy. How are you?
One party for one thing and one party for another. That's the dumbest thing I've heard all week long.
Well, Tracy, I can give you something else that's even dumber than that. I looked at a post here on my Facebook page, and it kind of got me really intense. You know, it's showing a slave ship, and it's got the diagram of all the slaves packed on the ship. And it says this, I don't remember southern states complaining when undocumented workers came over like this on a slave ship. Now, to me, that is a very, very open attempt to tell a lie. Slaves were not undocumented workers. Slaves were documented very well. And to compare slavery to an undocumented worker who came here illegally of their own will is very, very wrong, and it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's a lie, and this just shows me that liberals they don't play fair. Number two, they try to distort the truth and what history has shown to be the truth. And I got somebody telling me that that's revisionist history that I'm trying to show, but no, you're trying to revise history by saying that slaves were undocumented workers.
I got folks trying to tell me to stay black. What does that mean?
I haven't figured it out yet, Tracy. I went on a nationally syndicated television show to try and figure out what they meant by telling me I wasn't acting black enough. Now here I am. I've got a master's degree. Okay, you speak very well for myself. I don't run around with my pants hanging off my butt. But every morning I wake up, I know what color I am. Ask me, do I care? I'm not going to go out. If being black means I got to go out there and show my butt and show my ignorance, then I don't want to be black. I don't want to have any part of it. Period.
I think that the fact that you guys don't understand when somebody says that in itself
is a completion of something that's illogical, man.
What does that mean? Okay, hold on. Covina, man, do me a favor.
Yes, ma'am.
Since you're black, explain being black. Explain that to me.
Exactly. Please do.
Being black is being proud of who you are as a Negro.
Okay. Let's try this again. Hold on, Stanley. I want him to finish this because it's got to be more than being proud of being a Negro.
And not attacking other people because they're black. That's it.
Whoa. So you're telling me because other people are black are not doing well, they're not doing what you need to do, and I'm black, I need to not attack them and say nothing to them where they're doing wrong?
No, you're attacking. You attack them for being wrong, but you don't attack them for being black.
How can I attack you for being black? I attack you for your action. I don't attack you for your color.
Right. Some people do attack you for being black. That's what I'm saying. That's it's that simple.
Like who?
Like who? Exactly, Jeff. Like who?
Do we have to name? I can name names all day.
Please do.
You want to know who?
Please do. Because sorry, I agree with you.
Right,
I don't understand
right
what you're
stop,
saying.
Okay.
Please do, be proud of being black. What does that mean?
How about Warwick Connolly?
Okay.
How about Jesse Lee Peterson?
No.
How about Larry Elder?
No.
What?
Ward Connolly, you got.
Ward Connolly is crazy.
Yeah, Ward Connolly's out of his mind.
How about Jesse Lee Peterson?
They don't. No.
Jesse Lee Peterson is a long way from being crazy.
Absolutely. Jesse Lee Peterson was attacked as soon as he came out and said anything about being conservative or believing in God, and he has been working in the black community to help black people. He has many ministries that work to help black people.
But let me say this. I don't want to go into the details of who he is. My question is, okay, Ward Connolly crazy, okay, but that don't make him not black.
When somebody says stay black, that's what they mean.
No, it don't.
No, it ain't.
No,
they mean stay. You know what they mean?
You didn't know what it meant. I'm telling
okay,
you.
I know what it is, though.
Okay,
okay,
Jeff, hold on.
Jeff,
you tell me what
it is. Okay,
hold
Jeff,
on, hold
tell
on,
us what it is because
when,
I don't know.
Jeff, tell us what it is.
When Covina Man says to stay black.
No, Covina Man didn't say it. Somebody else, other people say stay
yeah,
black.
When they tell
kids to go to college, they stay black.
They mean stay in the ghetto, stay with us as we have this struggle of being inadequate, subservient on the government, and agree with us when we say that people are racist because that's what it is. It has nothing to do with nothing else. It's just plain racism. And you don't have any leg to stand on to be independent. You have to be right there with us, and you have to agree with us, or we call you an Uncle Tom and kick you out the black community. That's what it's all about.
Hold on, Jeff. Hold on. Because I need to know, because that's what your interpretation of stay black is.
That's what they're saying.
No, because, you know, they're not telling you got to stay in the hood. You can move out the hood.
But you better not agree with anything. You can't live out the hood, because if you live out of the hood, you've abandoned your area. That's number one.
Tracy, like they said, you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. That's exactly what they mean. You can live outside the hood, but don't take the hood outside of you.
Hold on. Alabama, hold on. 747, your mic is on.
Yeah, Tracy. You know when a person says stay black, now my interpretation of what it means is this. You don't have to tell a Spanish person to stay Spanish. You don't have to tell a Jewish person to stay Jewish because they know their culture and they stay there. Those of us who know our culture, who knows our history, there is a certain thing that if you know your history, then you can say stay black because you're talking about stay to what you were raised up as a kid, stay to the true values of what you were taught as a black person. That's
what does that mean? Ms. Pam, stop.
What
does that mean?
What about
hold on, South Carolina. Hold on. Wait a minute, Pam.
When I came up,
Pam.
My mother gave me pride in being who I was.
Okay,
she gave me
Pam. Today, Pam. Pam.
I
no.
Pam.
I, no.
Wait,
what I'm saying?
I
no, no.
On my job, I never
Pam.
Tried to assimilate
in 2000,
to somebody
Pam.
I wasn't.
No. No, in 2013.
But see, you're giving me your interpretation.
No, Pam.
You said,
I'm not giving you your. No, Pam. Pam,
black
well,
means
Pam.
To everybody a different thing. If you
you're missing
believe
my point.
In what you believe in, then nobody's going to take that from you.
Pam, listen. If I was raised with bad morals in a home, and I was raised in a welfare home, and I was raised with my mama not really taking care of me like she should. See, you were raised in one situation of a whole other era.
That's what saying black means to me. I was raised in a home where I knew who I was.
But what does saying black mean today?
I was a young lady, and there were certain things that I had to do to keep myself and my pride intact. And that is what being staying black means to me. Now, what it means to somebody else, I cannot say.
So why would I tell you, if you are not my child, if you were not my child, what does it mean when someone else says stay black?
Understand, what do being black mean? Staying black to me means staying black to the culture that I came up in. That I, when I live in a neighborhood, I was supposed to keep my place presentable. I was supposed to clean around the yard. When I was a kid going around, my mother didn't smoke. If you was in her house and you sit on the porch and you threw a cigarette out in her yard, you had to go out there and pick it up.
Miss Pam, Miss Pam, I don't want to go that far. You're going somewhere I don't want to go.
But whether you want to go there or not.
No, I know I'm not. I'm not doing it today. I'm trying to go to a point because people are telling young people who are getting ready to go into their master's degree programs to stay black. I need to know what does that mean to them.
You can't talk.
Can I say something? I'll tell you what it means.
What's it mean?
It means play the knockout game, watch stupid reality shows like Real Housewives of Atlanta, and call white folks devils. That's what it means to be black nowadays.
No, can I interject something?
Yes, who is that?
It's Alabama.
Hey, Alabama.
Yeah, I'm going to say this right here. To stay black, just in my mindset, and I don't think Kofi the Man should have a problem with this definition, is to go into the system or the political system or the social economic situation of America and operate in such a way to benefit people of African descent. I think that's the easiest definition of it, to go in and play the same game that Asians played, that the Japanese prime minister a while ago said that black people are not intelligent, they're stupid, and they don't operate. But then they came out and apologized, but he actually said that. So I'm just saying. So he's saying when you say stay black, that's what they mean. Now, people have different definitions of what that means. Like, what is it, Cornel West and Michael Eric Dyson are going back and forth now with over some stuff. But that is to me, when someone says stay black, that's what they mean. Operate in such a way to benefit people of African descent.
That would be lovely. That would be lovely, but then they wouldn't call me an Uncle Tom. You understand?
Hold on. I'm going to go, but we got a whole another couple hours. Local call, your mic is on.
It is a Steve.
Yes, Steve.
Miss Tracy, time I can't understand why black people talk about the Constitution when we was excluded from the Constitution.
Oh, I'm done with that. I ain't playing with you.
Oh, my God. Come on, man.
No. I'm serious. Diva, your mic is on. So can you tell me what staying black is? Keep it black.
One, I don't understand how you guys are having this conversation when, one, you don't even recognize President Obama as being black. You say, well, he's never had the black experience, whatever. Two, black people, for us to continue to have this argument back and forth that we can't agree on what black is, it's just... It's embarrassing.
No,
Diva.
My question to you is, if I come to your daughter, she's doing well in school. She goes to a suburban school, mm-hmm. and then you tell me keep it black, or I tell her don't forget to stay black. What does that mean?
Well, it means staying true to black culture, and it doesn't have to do with. Reality TVs or Sagitt or whatever.
What is
Eric
black
was
culture?
Saying. Black culture is just the fact recognizing that we are different than white people, Asian, Spanish. We all are different when it comes to race.
Yeah,
we
walk
a certain way. We
Can
you finish? Can you let me finish? We talk a certain way. We interact with each other a certain way, and it's not. But when I say stay black, it means do not emulate another. Culture, and we as African Americans tend to do that. It doesn't have to do with having good grammar or having great oracle skills or dressing a certain way. I mean, you could dress dapper and classy. Sometimes you take it too far when you do cross the fashion lines into a different culture. Staying black has nothing to do with
does that mean? Does that mean
R&B and soul food?
Tracy.
So hold on, Diva. So does that mean that I can't eat sushi?
Yeah, Tracy.
That has nothing to do with sushi, but do you think you're Japanese because you're eating sushi? You want to emulate the Japanese lifestyle,
Tracy?
Because you're eating sushi? That's totally different than just eating sushi.
Tracy. What are we going to do? What are you going to do about the professor, Eric?
I don't know, because Eric's special. He ain't even here to defend himself.
Yeah, but he talks about his culture and his heritage and everything else. And the man has no, I don't get it.
Tracy,
somebody get that beast under control.
That's Eric. I think, okay, but Kobina Manor, you had something to say.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to keep that, keep the particular modern day cultural aspects that's being promoted as black culture out of it, because that really is a distraction. It's not really represented as people had brought in the reality TVs or pan sagging. That really had nothing to do with being black. That's a particular Hollywood culture aspect. But if you're in the fight against white supremacy, that's keeping it black.
Here's the thing, though. Who disagreed?
That was Diva.
Me?
Go ahead.
Diva, your answer was pretty decent, I think. But I think that you have to go a couple steps further, because you have to explain more in depth what you think the black culture is. Because guess what? My daughter is just as black as anybody, but she does not adhere to any of the negatives of the black community a certain way. Okay, she went to suburban school where it was probably 80-20, and maybe even higher than that, but it was 80-20. She was an A and B student. She speaks good English, and she can speak black dialogue when she wants to. Okay, and no, I don't think that Barack Obama has had the black experience in America. Why? Because he didn't grow up in America's mainland. They don't have the same attitudes at there, and he was biracial anyway. He was raised white. He wasn't raised black.
So what culture does President Obama have?
I'm going to tell you.
No, you're going to tell me because you're conservative. I'm saying,
no.
what kind of black culture does President Barack Obama have, being raised in an all-white society inside of Hawaii?
He doesn't have that. He has a world.
And gone to world-class
schools. World-class schools all the time. He went to world schools. He has a world view. He does not have a United States view, which is why he didn't do a doggone thing for black people.
So question is, how can he stay black?
He can stay black by acting black because of what he was told by Michelle and his brief experience here in the United States for the 7 years or so that he was working.
And he can call, himself Barack instead of Barry.
I'm sorry. He was kind of, how can I say, I don't want to say pushed or forced. He was awakened and made aware of black culture as a young boy, just based on his skin color, not by the native Hawaiian.
Where?
Racist white people who would come to Hawaii and see that Hawaii was different than the mainland and than the rest of the 49 states or the rest of the other states. And they would treat him as they would the people in the United States.
No, that's not true. He may have had discrimination because he wasn't a native Hawaiian. He may have felt discrimination, but there's a whole other difference. And driving by black, going down the street and seeing all your friends laying face down because they are black, and having the black experience when your mama and your daddy tell you to keep your hands out, put them out the window, he had to learn that, acquire that later on. But while he was growing up, he missed all that opportunity.
His mama
didn't have a black conversation with him that most black men's parents have with them or are supposed to have with them.
You're right, and I think that was more of a struggle for him per se, because we had someone that we can talk to about
Diva,
our black.
Diva, this
or,
is not a, this,
or
again,
like that. He didn't. He didn't have anybody to
But Diva, you keep on trying, and I don't want to get on the Barack Obama because I don't care what color he is right now. He's a bad president. And that's not the issue. My issue is when you tell people to keep it black, I need to know what in the world does that mean? Because how can you live in a society where we're supposed to be integrated? We're supposed to go to work. We're supposed to succeed. We're supposed to become something, and then we tell our young people to go to school, get a degree, get an education, go get a job, make a lot of money, have a family, but don't forget to keep it black. What the heck does that mean?
Okay, Tracy,
and
how
because I live differently and or think differently than you do, then I ain't keeping it real and I ain't keeping it black.
Okay, look at it like this. You grew up eating collard greens, fried chicken, chitlin, you know,
and your point
to all that. You go off to college. You go off to a predominantly white college. You come back. None of that is good enough.
Diva, let me say this. Hold on, Diva. I got to take a break. I really want you to understand something. I got to say this. I am 50 years old, 49 and a couple quarters. Listen to this. I love fried chicken, macaroni and cheese, collard greens with some chow chow on the side. Chitlins and Frank's Red Hot with some coleslaw on the side, and my foot will pat for a long time. But guess what? I'm finding out that eating all that ain't necessarily healthy for my heart weight. So
okay, that's completely different.
I gotta put it down. Not because I'm too good for it, but it ain't good for me.
It wasn't indigenous black in the first place.
That's completely different. But that's not when they're saying keep it black. That's not what they're referring to. You changing your lifestyle and your habit to fit your health and circumstances. But you go out to a really white woman and tell you
that I grew up on Sugar Hill. I grew up on other music. I still like to listen to it, but I found out it ain't what I do right now. I've grown past some of that. I like happy.
Okay,
I like
again.
Happy songs.
Again, that's completely different.
Again, so, I know my history, and I embrace it. I love my history. I want so much for the people that look like me.
Amen.
My problem is you telling people who are going to college to stay black is something like, what in the world does that mean? Because right now we need to come out of being black and we just need to be right.
Stay liberal and vote for white Democrats.
If you really don't want the answer, you just want to debate.
No.
You don't want the answer.
Hey, let me just say this. I know for a fact that you can't sleep with white people and then keep it black.
Yeah, you can.
No, I'm just saying, I know for a fact. I think that once you cross that line, you can no longer keep it black. You have to let somebody else.
That is crazy.
You have to let somebody else keep it black.
Are you kidding me?
That is crazy.
Really?
Somebody else.
Come on, come to California, I'm going to choke you.
You got somebody else
trying
to speak for the black.
I didn't say it, Diva.
No, I'm not going to sit here and let you tell me.
Diva, I didn't say it, Diva. I didn't say it.
It's like saying that's like saying if you sleep with a woman, you're not a woman, you're a man. That is crazy, man.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard you say, Kavina, man. Normally, you be on point, but that was crazy. So I'm no longer black because I've had relations with a white man.
That's right, Diva.
No, I said you got to let somebody else speak. Speak.
That don't make no sense.
You got to let somebody else speak.
Blackness has nothing to do. Who I'm laying in bed with.
It has absolutely everything to do with it.
No, it doesn't.
You cannot separate the fight.
I still know who I am as a black woman. I'm not trying to be a white woman.
I'm not saying that you don't know who you are. You can't speak for black people anymore.
Why can't I? I'm blocking you on Facebook, Kavina, man. I can't believe you said that.
Diva, you know my friend here in Warren.
What?
You know my friend here in Warren. I didn't know that.
White? No.
Myrick.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I saw him on, I saw you put a post on his Facebook page. I didn't know you knew my boy Jarrell.
I used to date him.
Oh, wow, really?
Hey, don't worry, y'all. He black.
I bet that was an experience.
Oh, that was an experience. That was an experience. Lord,
Diva,
Emerson.
I can't get over the fact that you're white now.
I know. I can't speak for my own people.
Hold on. Hey, check this out. Check this out. It's Alabama. Check this out right here. If I understand where Covina Man is coming from, because what he's saying is he's looking at it from a wealth and power and economic standpoint and saying what she's doing, if Diva was to pass away, it's still going back. Whatever wealth she can accumulate, a man, is going back to the dominant society. And he's looking at it from a chess way of looking at it, like, okay, we need to stick together and generate wealth and build. You say you can't build a black society if you got a white husband or a white. The white husband's not going to tell his kids to look at the world from a black point of view. And he's going to pass that vision on to them kids. I think that's what Covina Man's conveying. Now, I think Diva can operate in a way to benefit black people, but to a certain extent, I think Covina Man, he's just, I don't see nothing wrong either way, but I prefer dating black women because I do think like that. If I die, I want my wealth to go into the, because we need it, because we, that's us, that's my people, that's the way I look at it. It's not a racist thing. I don't have no problem with it, but I can understand where Covina Man is coming from.
See, I can't understand it because I was not raised like that. You know what I'm saying? I was raised.
That's why we are where we are, because we're taught to not look at color, and every other person does. Every other race does. Not every individual.
Race dominantly more so than the other. Like, I was not raised to believe that black white people were the enemy and they were evil. I understood the evils of racism, discrimination, and that.
Okay, Diva, you went off that point. Every white person is evil. I didn't say that. What I'm saying is white people control all the power and wealth in this country. If you want to amass some wealth within the black community, then you have to operate the exact same way they do. How do they operate? How do Asians operate? How do all these other people of other races operate? We don't operate like that, and they're out there, and we look like we look because of that.
I'm sorry. I just don't see things how you guys see things. I was just not raised like that.
You can't do that.
Well, women ain't
in
Alabama.
Stay black.
My daughter, I will admit, has some white people tendencies. Okay. She likes this punk rock. Her favorite band is My Chemical Romance. I can't get with it. I'm an R&B girl all day. Let's just face it. Rock and roll and country belong to white folks. Spanish, Tejano music belongs to Hispanics. Asian music belongs to the Asians. R&B and soul belong to the black folks, okay?
That's minor issues.
But what I'm saying is, let me get to my point. Let me finish my point. What I'm saying is, it's those little things that when you try to say, I no longer accept what my culture, what is conducive to my culture because I think it's inferior to another culture, then, yeah, you're going to have a problem. And let's face it, there are black people who make it, and they forget where they come from.
Hey, Dave, let me make my point before I come back from the commercial. It has nothing to do with culture. I don't care if you listen to Chemical Romance or Beethoven. That's minor issues. The major issue is who are the oppressor and who is the oppressed. You cannot have one foot as the oppressor and another foot or in the bedroom with the oppressed. Then you can't fight for the cause of the oppressed.
I'm sorry, I don't look at my future fiance, future husband as an oppressor. I don't look at all white people as if they're trying to oppress African Americans. cultures or other races.
Most white people, Diva, most white people aren't even thinking. They don't. Most of them don't think like that. They're just, you're right. They just want to live their lives.
Exactly.
But to sit up here and ignore a system that's been set up a certain way is still foolish at the same time. Now,
no one is ignoring this.
Labeling. Oh, let me say this right here. Calling someone an oppressor or a white supremacist isn't necessarily going to be the best way to look at it. I'm not looking at it like that, but I'm not sitting up crazy enough to sit up here and say that, Diva, if you were to die next week and let's say you got $2 million worth of insurance, that money's not going to help us as a people. And certain people, that's what I said earlier, when it means to be black, is to operate in a way that's going to benefit people of African descent. That's why they say stay black. Otherwise, it wouldn't make a difference. That's the only difference.
Now, let me,
black people the only one that has these conversations? Why?
We're the ones that have these conversations because we're the ones that are, we're the only people in the world that don't operate this way. And so when someone says this, it's like pulling teeth to try to get someone to see it that way. No,
right, let me,
people say that, but they own everything. I could talk like that if I own it. I can go out and sleep with a woman from another race if my people own everything that you look around and see.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I am sitting here with Jeff Green, and it is 9 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock here on the 22nd of April, and it's a dreary, cold day in northeast Ohio today.
It was so nice yesterday.
Oh, Sunday was beautiful.
It was so nice. Sunday.
It was Sunday. Yesterday, the sun can't – why is it that the sun can't shine while it rains?
It can, but it's not too often that happens.
Because I need sun. That's why I want.
I had a good day Saturday. It was nice and warm.
That's why I got to go back.
I had a restaurant jamming on that acapella.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
See there, it works. I'm trying to tell y'all it works. And the number again is 347-945-5229. I brought up a topic, and it is an open mic, but I don't want to go so far crazy talking about something stupid off the booth just because you guys got – somebody gets an epiphany. But I just want to know – people – I just need to know what that means because people – hold on, Jeff. We tell our kids don't act white.
Yeah, now
So that's what I'm saying. We tell our kids don't act white, and kids get teased in school for acting white. You're talking proper. You're studying like the white people do. What in the world does that mean?
Once again, it's an ascribation to ignorance. It's an ascribation to you can't be a conservative even though all black people were conservatives in this country at one time.
It's not even about, it's just about the conservatives. How do you tell somebody? We wonder why we go to school. Our young people go in and they get into college. They get into school. They get into high school. And young boys especially.
Mm-hmm.
And when they begin to start studying,
mm-hmm.
and they get teased and put down because they're acting white.
Look, my cousins, I have a cousin that does work with me from time to time, and he was saying that his daughters saw me on Facebook and blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, what? Is cousin Jeff, is he just rich? Or what is it that he does? Because he's a Republican. And he's this, that, and the other. Why is that? But he, you know, his argument makes sense. But I don't know, because they're torn, okay? Now, here's the bottom line. They think of things that they were told to think about their own selves instead of being something. Yes, black culture is starting to become drug culture. It's starting to become the culture of your pants hanging down your behind and no education or low education.
That's what I'm saying, Jeff.
And that's what's bothering
me. And wait a minute, you know what? They're teaching right now in schools cultural diversity and sensitivity classes that the African-American culture is for them to go out and make babies.
Yes.
And not take care of them.
Not
because that's their culture. That's what they come from. What in the world does that mean? Does that mean I'm acting black if I go out and have a litter?
And depend on the government to take care of them or go get an abortion that the government pays for.
440, your mic is on. Good morning.
Yeah. I think it's more the cultural thing. You know, the thing with the black, it's got nothing to do with the color. Not at all. Nigerians and Ugandans don't want to be associated with black Americans.
That's right.
They don't view themselves that way. And they don't want to be pigeonholed in the same box. They don't want to be in the same box as you. They want to be perceived as something, in this their own words, better.
So what
they
is
do,
that?
They think your culture...
Africans are backwards. Africans are backwards, man.
Hold on, Alabama.
No. Hey, these are people I know that are educated, and they have education, not backwards, and they have businesses. I can
they sure
tell
do.
You by name who they are, and I'm not going to. So don't go there with that one. They are
and
not ignorant, and they're not stupid. They do not want. They do not embrace American black
Alabama. Let him finish.
Okay, let's
No, Kamina, man, no. 440, did you finish what you were saying?
Yes, I'm done. But that's the way it is. It's not your skin color. And I think a lot of people just don't get it. It's the culture. It is the culture. Period.
South Carolina, Alabama, you want to say something?
What I wanted to say was most Africans are brainwashed by Europeans, and he's right. They do come
in
over here.
In what way?
They do have
in
this,
what way?
Hold on.
In what way?
Because what it is, like, okay, let's look at a lot of these African nations. They've had their independence for 50, 60 years, a lot of them. They are whiny. They beg white Europeans for different things, like in Togo, different places. These people are not about getting out there in taking over. They're about assimilating into white culture. So I don't disagree with what he just said. The point I'm trying to make is, I don't disagree with that. That what he just said was true about a lot of Africans that come over here. They want to assimilate into white culture. They don't want to build their own. They want to assimilate. Other people like India, Pakistan, they got their independence, and they out here and they taking over the IT. Africans don't have an industry. We don't even have – we got all these different nations in Africa, the continent. They don't own, they don't produce their own nothing, they don't manufacture. But they're coming over here to assimilate and be white, and be as close to white as they can. A lot of these
Alabama, stop.
White men.
Stop.
Go ahead.
You made your point. Hold on, you made your point. Covina, man, go ahead.
Okay, I was gonna try to make this point quickly where everybody can clearly understand. Like, imagine you have a child, like Jeff has a son, and his son is going to become a police officer, let's just say. And Jeff loves his son. He knows his son is a great person. He's not, he doesn't compromise. He's an upstanding human being. But he knows that the police force has a code of silence where police can get away with things just by saying we have a code of silence. We don't snitch on each other. Jeff says to his child, don't forget where you come from. Don't forget your integrity as a person. Don't fall into this mindset of you know, the code of silence. Don't get caught up in that. So what Jeff is basically saying would be an example of saying to his son, keep it black, only in the circumstance of he's saying, we know where you come from. Don't get caught up in the nonsense out there in the world with the rest of them.
Okay,
can I
let's
ask
try
a question?
Yeah, go
can
ahead.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Yeah.
And then I'll get off. What would you say to me if I said, stay white? Doesn't that sound pretty racist?
No.
Stay white. Stay white.
It wouldn't sound right.
Say that to one, if you heard me say that to one other white person, I'm telling you right now, most of your audience would be.
That wouldn't sound right.
But
it'd
here's the
problem. You don't have to say that. All you have to do is say,
I had an argument with a lawyer friend of mine about affirmative action because I believe, unlike the Supreme Court that just struck it down in Michigan, that we still need affirmative action because you have many areas that black people will not be allowed in to work. They aren't allowed to climb a ladder. They aren't even allowed entry level in certain areas, whether you have the education or not. And the bottom line is this. It's wrong. It's a reverse discrimination. Well, no. I'd make up 10% of the people in the country. We're not. This is not the deal here. Okay, so I'm not buying that. What the problem is we have to start understanding that your culture is not what you call your culture. Africans aren't white. Aren't white. They are world. They have a world view because you know what? They study the politics of their own nation. They study the politics of your nation. They know your politics and your history better than you do. And they think you're stupid. Why? Because the people that oppressed you, you support. That's why they don't have nothing to do with you. Over the place.
Let me say this. We fought for integration.
Yeah.
And integration does not mean assimilation. It doesn't mean I have to leave who I am because of who I am. But what it means is that I can cohabitate with anyone. And I am independent of myself. And what's happening is we want to be integrated and segregated at the same time. Just like I think Kobina and I were having a conversation this morning talking about you can be a democracy and a republic at the same time.
No.
You know, you can't. And you can't be integrated and segregated at the same time. And keeping your culture is knowing who you are and being proud of who you are and being able to lift people up if they choose to be lifted up. But I cannot lift you if you don't want to be lifted. And what I'm finding out in our culture is we got a group of people inside of our race that they don't want to be lifted out of where they are. See, that's the problem. Yeah, Alabama.
The thing is, this is the thing. I'm so tired of Africans getting this. A lot of us give Africans these props. Africa is one of the most backward continents. The people from Africa, if they're so deep and progressive-minded, why does it look like it do? Why couldn't they even manufacture their own guns to get the colonists, the Europeans, out of their country?
They don't have a right.
You want me to tell you what's wrong with the people of Africa and the people of America? They have not learned to work together for a common goal. They have not, when they do work together, they put somebody in leadership that sells them out and then sells them into slavery. Because people that are over from another country, they are not oppressed by the white man, they're oppressed by the black man. What was the guy who Forrest Whitaker played?
Idi Amin.
Idi Amin? Mm-hmm. He was oppressed. He oppressed his own.
That's right.
300,000 people he killed.
And he was funded to keep to make them free, and then decided to keep them and to put them and take power over them. We need to understand that, you know, we look at this in color and black and white and European and African and all that kind of stuff. People are people. And there's some bad people in all races. But for me, but for us to tell our young people to keep it black instead of just tell them keep it right. Just because you're black doesn't mean I'm supposed to defend you when you do wrong. I don't care who you are.
And that's the crux. That's why Diva said what she said. You don't even see Barack Obama as being totally black. No, I look at him as being who he is, and that's the whole thing.
I don't want to bring Obama, because when we bring Barack Obama in, we bring in a whole can of worms. I'm just talking about, why can't we just tell you that red is red, white is white, and blue is blue?
Because
and
you don't know
wrong,
that.
And if you're wrong about, you cannot call pink red. Pink is not red. It may be
but
a derivative of red, but it's not red.
See, when white people or other cultures look, or other races look at the people of that race, they look at them in the eyes of, okay, you look like me, we share the same identifying characteristics. We look at black people based on what you're wearing, how you talk, where you live, how you grew up, what experience you have. If you didn't share the same experience as me, then I don't consider you this, blah, 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 blah. See, me, I was not raised that way. I was raised,
Diva,
when I look at black, I look at you sharing the same skin color and the same characteristics as me. And that's
no,
all
listen,
I
hold on, Diva. Listen, our problem is we judge people very, very superficially. Let me say this. We wear our money on our back, and we drive it down the street. We have no money in the bank, and we have no money in our future. Because we're so engrossed in impressing other people about what we have on our back and what we wear. So we spend all our money and become consumers instead of becoming savers. That's the problem.
That's culture.
Because I don't want you to judge me for not being black when I show up at the dance tonight.
Yeah, that's cultural, but that's not integrity. Like, black, somebody say keep it black, they talk about the integrity and not the culture. Or not the
what
ignorance.
Integrity?
So there's two. It's too much. I had just explained it to you. Do you understand it? About the
go,
personality.
Go be the man.
Yes, sir.
Go. Hey, check this out. To me, to say stay white, you don't have to say stay white. All you have to do is say, hey, go to AT&T, go to T-Mobile, go to Walmart, go to CVS, go to
or
Rite Aid. That is because what I said earlier, so when you say stay a particular race, it's saying operate in such a way to benefit that particular culture. And so what is race? And so it's saying
100% right.
Yeah, like it's, I don't see why everybody disagree with that. That's really what it is.
All he has to say is good morning. He don't have to say nothing else. He just say good morning. That means stay white. And same thing.
Good morning.
What does it mean when
I'm sorry, I have to disagree. Because you guys are making
that's
it seem as if all white people think that way. And
it's
I just
it's not about
come across
how they think.
Diva,
stop thinking about how people think and their motives and their intentions.
Alabama,
and start looking
Alabama,
at who controls the wealth.
Alabama, hold on. Hold on, Alabama. Diva, you said not all white people think that way?
No, white people are just thinking, like, we got to hold the black man down and we got to keep him boxed in. And, yeah, we have a messed up system that allows for white dominance to reign. But I guarantee you the average white person majority, it's not thinking like you guys thinking. And I think Kavina Man in Alabama,
yeah,
sometimes they just read too deep into stuff.
I got a secret to tell y'all. Hold up.
I don't get that.
Listen, I got a secret to tell y'all, and this is white folks don't want you to know this. You know what's wrong with black people and white people?
We focus too much on what they think of us and how they're thinking about us.
And what? And you know what? I'm gonna tell you the secret. They ain't
not
thinking about y'all.
You are so far from their conversation
and their purview right now. They don't even care. As long as you don't bring your mess into their house.
It's a delusion of grandeur. It's a delusion of grandeur, Tracy.
You're totally
they
wrong.
Don't care about the youth. They don't.
You're telling
at
wrong.
All.
You're totally wrong.
Hold on. Covina man. The majority of people, now you've got a think tank of people that have been studying black folks for a long time, and they manipulate the system every time you go to vote. That's why they mobilize you. But trust me, the majority of people in America that are non-white think more about white people than people who are white thinking about people that are non-white, unless you're Hispanic and you get ready to take their job.
I think you're totally wrong. That's my opinion.
That's why you're totally crazy.
Because
you ain't around enough white people to understand that.
Hey, Tracy,
I actually agree with you, Tracy.
As many white folks as I've been around, trust me, they're not concerned with you.
Hey.
They're trying to make that scratch so they can pay for their home.
Why are you guys fighting the straw man? I don't think I or Covina man made that point that every black for white person is I got to keep the black man down. I said myself, most white people don't think like that. I'm just telling you that it's set up a certain way to benefit them, and a select few thought like that hundreds of years ago, and they, let me finish this last point. If I tell you you can't have a bank, you can't have this loan, you can't have this, you can't, and I do that for four and five generations, then all of a sudden I come and say, hey, pull yourself up. Obviously, that race, the people that have benefited don't think like that. They don't. That's why you had the Homestead Act. They gave away 1 billion acres to white people from Europe to gave them wealth, whereas blacks were freed, and they stopped us from getting land and gave it to a lot of white Europeans coming from overseas. This has happened. And now you want to act like it didn't happen. And then when black people start saying something, you say, hey, you're just complaining, you're just lazy.
It's not that we don't want to acknowledge that certain things happen, but the fact is you keep bringing the past into the present, and you keep bringing past acts and putting them onto people who had nothing to do with them.
You have to treat
people individually. And yeah, you could talk about the system all you want. We all know, recognize we're a messed up system. But do we keep dwelling on the past, or do we move forward and push past it and try to push past the system to make life better for ourselves?
Hold on. Wait a minute. Stop. 440, go ahead, because you're the white man in the room.
I'm the white man in the room. I am the white man in the room. And I can tell you unequivocally, we don't think about black people or keeping them down, et cetera, et cetera. Is that true for absolutely 100% of us? No. But for the majority of us, all we're thinking about is making a living, surviving, having enough money to pay our bills. That's it. I mean, the rest of it, I'm hearing it's just like you're way off base. We don't... I don't think like that. Most of the people that I know don't think like that.
Yeah, it's
Wait a minute. Go ahead, Jeff.
Okay, what I was trying to say is that I agree with him in that sense. Somebody close your radio off. But I agree with that, because it's not so much that they're just looking here and there to do whatever, but you cannot forget what happened in the past, Diva, because those same types of things are present, and they are going to create the same type of outcome if you allow them. So you have to cut off the head whenever you see the snake come up. And so therefore you have to know that, yeah, they will keep you from doing certain things and getting certain things. They will absolutely keep you from that, because they can. Because and the system is set up for white people, because white people set up the system. So I agree with Michigan Man when he says that a lot of times, because but the only problem is, like over in Africa, those people have been totally taken over, that they don't really run their own countries a lot. Okay, they're dependent upon a lot of different people because of a lot of different things. Technology is one. finances is another. You know, you can't have certain things when you have other countries taking advantage of your resources. And so therefore.
Also, go ahead. My bad, Jeff.
Yeah, that's okay. But you're dealing with a number of cultural situations, and that aren't the same across the board. I am not, I am what I am here in America, and I'm glad to be. I love being black. I wouldn't be no other color than what I am. I like who I am, okay? Even with some of the things that attend being black in America. When they wouldn't give me a loan for my house to build a house when I had 30% down and good credit. See, you have to understand.
Okay.
You have to understand. Those are things
I was
that
not
happen.
Saying that we need
I
to forget the past. What I'm saying is when you sit there and you start saying stuff like we need to just worry, we just need to be segregated, you're a sellout for being this way, you're Uncle Tom, or you can't speak for black people because your significant other is white. That's when I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, wait a minute. You cannot sit there and you can't sit there and put on this person who had nothing to do with the past, who is not bringing the past into the future, into the present, who is not operating in that way, and trying to put them in that box.
But
and
that, okay, can I address that?
No, you
hear
can't.
From being a man. That's what I hear from Kavina, man. I
hold
feel like
on,
you're trying to
on.
All white people in that now.
You can too, Diva, and this is why you can't.
No.
Yeah.
I can't. I gotta.
Here's the thing.
Y'all not gonna let me do this, huh?
Oh, go ahead.
Can I take a break?
No.
Okay. I'm gonna take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends.
Look, Diva. This is the thing. If you come into a system, and the system is set up because of your skin color, you can do certain things. Whereas because of my skin color, I can't. You have benefited from that system. Now, you may not have been the one that set it up, but you have benefited. Now, all I'm talking about is, I'm not talking about that guy that came over here. Hey, my parents ain't got nothing to do with it. But what I'm talking about is, where's the wealth from what was done to the people, the black people that hold them back? That's who needs to pay it.
Okay,
now,
but can you blame white people now for
don't
a system that was set up? By people in the past, can you blame
okay,
them
because
they're
this
able to take advantage
okay,
of it?
So this is what happened. You free the slaves, right?
Mm-hmm.
They get promised some land. They get promised a piece of a mule. They stop that, hold them back. Then they invite all these white Europeans from Europe and give them land, right? And you've been over here held back for I don't know how many hundreds of years, and they built this country. A lot of these people would not have even been coming to this country. Because if they wasn't for the slave labor, they could not have amassed the amount of wealth that they did in this country that even drove those people, your boyfriend's grandparents, great-grandparents, they wouldn't have came over here if it wouldn't have been for what they did to black people. So let's not just act like, so I'm not talking about him. I'm not saying he owes me anything. But let's not act like that black people have been, come on now. Y'all got the own up on that one.
My boyfriend started his business, and he started from scratch. He has a black friend who is now upset, and his black friend had a nerve to come to me and say, that's messed up. I can't get a loan because to start my business, but Gary was able to do blah, 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 blah. I was like, but what fault is that of his, and why are you taking it out on your friend because your friend is white?
I'm not enabling black people to be lazy and not go out there and try.
No, I'm not talking about laziness.
I'm talking about envy and being mad and placing blame where it's not supposed to be.
So that's even, what I'm talking about.
Hold on. Let me make my point. I'm not saying that. I'm trying to buy a 40-unit apartment building, so I'm not out here just sitting on my behind. But what has been done to African-Americans in this country, to sit up here and ignore that and say, well, this guy came from France and Italy 70 or 90 years ago, and they don't have nothing to do with it. But then you come in because of what was done to this other person, and I'm sitting like, you can't see that as, okay, well, the only reason you came over here was
You get mad because a white person is able to get things that you can't because of their past ancestors, so you take it out on that white person. That makes no sense.
I'm not taking it out on them. I'm not Diva. It's because, I'm going to be honest with you, I think the way you think is because you are dating the guy you date.
It has nothing to do with
it
because of the guy
that's what I'm
dating.
And
it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with how I was
dating. That are cool, that I'm cool with, I have no problem with them. and I don't think that they think that I'm some type of, I don't think that about white people, so let's get that out of the way. But I'm saying that what was done to black people in this country. Covina, man, am I right?
Who cares?
I mean, it's not 440's fault what was done to black people. So if he goes out and starts his and all he is doing is trying to make a living for his family, he's able to easily get a loan, and you mad at him because he got a loan and you didn't because you're black and he's white. That makes no sense. You can't get mad at the person. You're mad at the system, not the person.
Why are you making these fake arguments, Diva? I didn't even say that.
It's called a hypothetical. It's called a hypothetical, Alabama.
Diva. The thing that you have to understand and everything, the only question that we want as black people is to have the same opportunity or the same right as a white person. If I'm not getting the loan as a black man because I'm black, that's not wrong.
Why would you get mad at the
I'm not mad at your friend that's getting the loan. I just want to know, if I'm not getting the loan, tell me I'm not getting the loan not because of my color or my skin. Tell me I'm not getting the loan because of my credit or something that I could work on, not because of the color of my skin.
They did that up until the 90s.
I completely get what you're saying. Don't think just because I'm dating a white man that I forgot where I come from. I still step out my house. My skin color is still the same. And I'm still black no matter what. We get married, whatever, have children, no matter what. I'm still going to be black, and society's going to pay me as such. And I'm proud of that. So don't think I forgot what black people have gone through and what we're still dealing with. But all I'm saying is we need to stop looking at the individual and blaming individuals for something they had nothing to do with.
They got the power and the wealth, Diva. You're going where the money is. You're going where the power is, Diva. That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. We as black men need to get our own power and wealth.
I'm not blaming you. Cannot do that. That's unfair because what you've got is a situation where you know you're laying blame on an individual who had nothing to do with it. That's like saying that the son is responsible for the sins of the father. Oh, well, you go back two or three generations. You got almost four generations before you can get to someone that owns slaves.
Ask me this question and I'll shut up. Where is the wealth that was generated from holding these black people back? That's what we need to start.
I'm conservative myself.
I'm trying to get it just like you do. I'm not saying that, but let's not act like that there isn't a lot of wealth, the Barclays and all these different companies, that was generated off your ancestors that could probably help. You know what?
I got to go to work. Y'all have a good day.
Why are we so fixated on somebody else's money?
I'm going to answer your question. Why are we so fixated? Because we don't have the same equality as white people. If we had the same level, Phil, it makes a difference, man. I'm sorry, it does. If you're telling me we're going to play football and you're telling me the rule of football is ABC and I'm saying, okay, let's rule the rule of football, but you're saying, oh, because I'm white, I don't have the rule ABC, but you as a black man have the rule ABC, we're not playing the same game. It makes a difference.
My older sister is my mother's favorite child. I don't fixate on why she's my mother's favorite child. I still just do me. At some point, you just still got to just...
What would have happened? If Black Wall Street wasn't destroyed, what would have happened?
Exactly.
It was a bunch of them.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If the Black Wall Street, like you keep on saying, would not have been destroyed, would have not been in that situation. If Black Wall Street would have not been destroyed, a lot of black people would have owned business. A lot of black people would have been on their own. A lot of black people, a lot of things would have changed.
10 of them. They did that 10 times.
No one is going to dispute what happened or what is happening to African Americans.
Hold on. If I come beat you and take your money, don't tell me you care.
That was funny.
Along, if you feel like a room without a roof, clap along, give
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 10:40 here on the 22nd of April, and I'm back to happy until the sun comes out and it's shining high. I'll be back on happy again. So you guys will just have to be sick of me and sick of it, because until we see better, I will not do better. Ha-ha. Listen, I got a local call coming in. It is an open mic. I was talking about race, and I was talking about what is being black. Or, you know, keep it black, keep it real, keep it, you know, acting white. What in the world does that mean? You know, if I talk differently, if I walk differently, if I look differently, if I like different foods, if my culture is, what does that mean? I mean, as long as I don't put calumination that go on my census, what does that mean? And I have issues when we tell our young people to keep it black instead of keep it right, because the right thing is always the best thing. No matter who is right or who is wrong, if the white man right on something, then he right. And I ain't going to stick with you because you black and say you wrong because you wrong. I can't do that.
I'll ask you a question after you get
a local call. Your mic is on.
Hey, good morning, Tracy. How you doing?
My black man, keep it real.
All right. My name is Flo Bella Sr., and I just want to say to me, being black is being a respecter of all races, you know what I'm saying, and keeping in mind to each individual, because you got bad people in every race. Now, also, being black to me, it means being free, you know what I'm saying, being respected as a grown man, and being able to exercise your rights with your own. Too many times, listen to me, a black man invented the iron, he invented the caboose, and you don't see his name on nothing. But to me, my own personal, because I got an issue with this, is being able to be free. If you got something of your own, it's your own. You know, because you got something of your own, no one should be able to dictate to you how you're supposed to live your life as long as you're doing the right thing. So to me, being black is being open-minded to every race and mainly making sure that you stay free. And I'm going to emphasize that, right, because nobody is going to put me in the bondage of slavery if I'm doing the right thing. That's all I
got
to say.
Amen.
Thanks a lot.
There you go. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Want to keep it real. Want to keep it black. And want to tell me what it is to be acting white.
Too black.
Too black, too white.
Too strong.
Too strong.
Listen.
What, Jeff?
Black people are the most resourceful people on the planet.
Okay.
They have withstood every heavy thing that could come against a set of people. The only people that suffer almost as much as black people are the Jews. Okay, and I say that, almost, because there's nowhere near the comparison. Okay, African people have been beat down for...
Now, hold on, Jeff. Are you talking about African people or are you talking about black people?
I'm talking about... No. Black people are African people. They came from Africa. Okay, I know.
I'm asking you the difference, because Africans are different than black. Now, we are descendants of Africa. The reason why I'm asking that, because Africa is Africa. Black people in America are the strongest of the Africans because they lasted to get to America.
Yeah, they are, but they also are the most controlled. They are the elephant tied to the post because they're afraid to do anything anymore without the auspices of the government. When you have this dependency upon government, you have a weakness, because then the government can tell you whatever to do, and that's what you're going to do. That's why you have the stupid things that people believe about, you know, that one set of people is evil and one set of people is not. And you can tell who these people are because they say they want their country back. And you don't realize that that's what they're doing out here with this cattleman, and you don't realize that that's what they're doing when the Oklahoma militia is saying they're going to resist the government from taking over their lands and doing certain things. See, you don't understand. States' rights is a very real thing, and no, we should not have a democracy. Because you can have every far-reaching left or right ideology control if you have democracy, and that is a dangerous thing.
267, your mic is on.
Yeah, and when you had mentioned about African people, you know, with the new tests they can do in terms of ancestry, DNA ancestry, they're finding that African Americans have more of a link to African people, especially West African people, like in terms of their DNA, than they do to people who than probably to any other race of people on the face of the earth. So there's more. So what I'm trying to say is there's more African in African people.
But that was not my question.
Than
my
they
question
realize.
That was not my question, sweetie. My question is, what does it mean by staying black? When I tell you to stay black, what does that mean? Or when I tell you you acting white, what does that mean? That was the question.
All right. Well, look. Well, I'm trying to.
And Jeff brought in the difference between Africans. Brought in Africans, and I wanted to know the difference between Africans and Black Americans because I think there's a difference.
Well, usually when people refer to acting white, they mean that you're trying to become educated, you're trying to establish yourself in a job, as trying to establish a business, and they see that as being white, as someone who aspires to be in the middle class.
So why would I tell a young lady, why would I tell somebody who's getting ready to go to college or be in college and get ready to graduate from college, don't forget to stay black?
Well, people refer to staying black as someone who wants to stay in the urban neighborhood, who wants to stay in the hood, who wants to stay around the people that they probably were, you know, that they were probably around since the time they were growing up.
So if they see someone who moves
away from the neighborhood and who tries to go out into the suburbs,
I'm paying for you to go to college. I'm supporting you going to college. I'm supporting you get your education. But what does it mean when I tell you to stay black? See, you can't tell me to go get an education.
When
and
they
tell
say
me to stay
black, what they're referring to is that you don't forget where you came from. That you leave the neighborhood and you don't come back. That's what they refer to as staying black, someone who is not trying to be authentic as to where they came from.
So when I come back in my Rolls Royce, am I acting white or am I staying black?
Acting white.
If
it depends
you come
on who I
back
give my money
in your
to.
Rolls Royce and you don't acknowledge the people that you left behind or you don't show that you have an appreciation for your ability to move beyond where you were from, they would say that's not staying black.
You're not listening.
Okay, Philadelphia, how do I acknowledge you?
The main way you would acknowledge people is that if you have been given a lot in life, if you come back to the neighborhood and you give back, like in terms of time or money.
Stop right there. Hold on. So if I give my money, do I give my money just to give it, or do I give my money to a credible source that's going to actually do something with it?
I would say if you give your money to people who are in need, or if you give your time to help mentor small children who are having a hard time in school or who come from homes that are broken.
You missed my point. Listen to what I'm saying. If I make it to where I'm trying to go, and I come back, am I supposed to give it just to anything, or should I give it to someone?
No, I didn't say just to give it just to anything. I said if you give it to the right charity, you find the right sources.
What's the right charity? If I give it to the Boys and Girls Club, am I giving it back versus the community center that's local? Because, see,
if you give it through the right avenues, if you give it through the right charities, if you take your time to help the mentor
circumstances. Who says where I give my money is right? Because, see, if I give my money to Jeff, I'm acting white.
The main problem that a lot of African-Americans have with African-Americans who are successful and move away is they don't give back to the same neighborhoods that they left, and they leave the people who were less talented behind, and they don't try to pull anybody back up.
That's not. You know, let me tell you this. What infuriates me to no end, and I don't mean to be upset. I don't mean to go too far with this, but I really want you to understand. I can't come and give you money just because I got it, and it's a and you
I
gotta
say
and you gotta
give money.
I'm not talking to you.
I didn't say it had to be in the form of money.
Listen to what I'm saying. Even if I give my time, I'm not going to give my time to something that's going nowhere. See, I'm only going to invest my time in something that's going to be productive and produce
fruit.
Well,
I guarantee, but
if it's not going to produce fruit, then we're not going to do it. And what's happening is when you come back into the neighborhood, if you don't give it to the Al Sharpton and the Al Sharpton Community Center, then you are no longer acting black. You're acting white now. But Al Sharpton, you know all he's doing is taking the money and putting it in his pocket. I invest my time. Right now, there are people that need to have jobs. We have more jobs than we can shake a stick at. But I can't give you a job because your kids won't quit smoking reefer, pull their pants up, put on a pair of khakis, and be at work on time because they too cute for you to tell them anything different.
Well,
am I lying?
You're telling the truth, Tracy. And at some point, you can't change what you refuse to acknowledge.
We got
jobs.
Don't
acknowledge it.
Right now, they're hiring the Department of Transportation, and we can't refer people to the Department of Transportation because they can't pee in a cup. That's a problem. And the white man got his foot on my neck. You acting white. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, here it is again. You know, it always comes back to the same thing about somebody having a foot on the neck and this, that, and other. Yeah, you get foot on your neck, especially in this country. We are a minority, so therefore we're going to get bumped and pressed more than anybody else. There's no doubt about it. But what you're doing right now is you are rolling yourself over, and you're not overcoming because you're allowing things to take control of you now. They get you all excited about crazy stuff, and you get out and go vote and keep one power structure in, and then you're wondering, you know, well, why am I still in the same position 50 freaking years later?
But it's bigger than that.
I don't know if it can be bigger than that.
Yes, it can, because right now, if you look at our community,
mm-hmm.
our community has major problems.
Yeah.
And we have the resources within our own infrastructure to solve a lot of our problems.
You sure do.
But nobody wants to work at solving the problem, and when we do put people in charge, they always take the money, and they run.
Okay.
And then we go and tell our young people, go to college, get an education, but don't forget to stay black. Huh? Local call, your mic is on.
Am I back again?
Yeah, you're back again.
Okay, I said that I wasn't going to say nothing else, but I'm going to say this. You know, me as a black man, you know, I've tried to exercise my rights. You know, I tried to stay civilized. You know, going through all legal channels with issues. But you know, and me being black, you know, people perceive me as being lazy without knowing that I tried every avenue to get certain things done. I'm not going to be specific about it, and it was just literally blocked out. You know what I'm saying? So to me, what I said was, you know what I'm saying, to be black and free also means to have your respect and dues to the law as they should be. I have been intentionally blocked out, you know what I'm saying? But on the other side of the coin, you know, I'm being called black and lazy.
But we all we've all been discriminated against.
Right, but that doesn't mean that you have to accept it. See,
that's the point.
In my situation, they told me, you sit down, you know, you give me yours.
But
you know,
again,
and be quiet. Just listen to me. Please.
No, I'm not going because I don't. Are you going somewhere else? Well, all I'm saying is we've all been
talking about being black. I'm telling you. But, as me being a black man, you know, kind of what happened to me. I'm explaining this to you.
I know.
They're telling me to sit down and be quiet and be a boy, and which I'm not. Why I take yours, you know what I'm saying? You just hush your mouth and don't say nothing. No, because that is not being free. Being free is being allowed to express yourself in a usual way and not allowing yourself to be a victim of unusual punishment because
the
only thing that they can do to you is give you unusual punishment when you're not doing anything.
But what I'm saying
that's
is
what they respect to.
We all have been discriminated against. That is.
That's what's up.
We know that. We've all been. We all felt the burden of discrimination. But what I'm saying is, with that said, we need to become more and more proactive in what we do, because discrimination should make me want to be better, do better, and make myself more free, so that I know that you can no longer discriminate against me. So instead of you working for me working for you, now you work for me. There's no better vengeance for me as an African-American woman to have somebody that I know does not like black people and or respect black people to now work for somebody that they didn't like. I mean, I don't think you guys understand that. That's how you fight this. Am I wrong?
No.
I mean, you got to, and then when you do it, you're fair by them still. You don't. Your vengeance is not for you to treat them bad, but your vengeance is to say, you know what, you may have put your foot on my neck, but guess what? I've worked myself out of the where I was at, and now, you work for me.
If we could get to that, that would be so great. And I think we've almost exhausted this because, you know, because you're trying to do something that's intangible. Like I said, if and my sister is classically trained musician, well, for that, she's acting white. She's not black.
Oh, classical.
Yeah,
no.
She's classically trained. So,
and when she comes to a black church to sing, they may not let her sing because they don't want to hear that.
Well, just the opposite, though. They love that. But at the same time, they still look at that as culturally a certain way. It's just like when in-house Eric here talks about some of the heritage that's in his bloodline, and he mentions something like Benjamin Harrison. Well, What's wrong with him? He's trying to be white. That's in his bloodline. Why is that him trying to be anything? If it's in his bloodline, it's in his bloodline. It doesn't matter. Sally Hemming has white and black blood, or our kids have white and black blood.
Most black folks do.
Precisely.
I ain't met too many black folks that got all black blood.
White, black,
in America.
White, black, Indian.
Let's keep it real. Let's just say there are certain things that black people do differently, white people do differently, Spanish people do differently. You know, case in point, my daughter. Okay, black girls tend to wear their hair in the wrap with a little bend or curls. My daughter likes to wear bone straight like Japanese culture. That's what she's trying to do.
Hold on, Diva. I got to take a break. I'm going to take a break because I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back. Hold on. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to ask you if acting white is me wearing a European weave. I'll be right back.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown.
Now, you know I'm going to say no because I love my weave. So. But I think this conversation has bored everybody because now everybody has gone.
I think the problem The problem is a lot of African Americans have adopted the lifestyles of white people, and they have forgotten that they happen to come from a community that requires their input. Even though they may be successful monetarily, they still require themselves to go back to help to mentor people who are not as successful as they are.
Here's what I don't understand,
man. Your mother and daddy are supposed to be the ones mentoring you, not me.
But here's what I don't get. I don't get why black people think that when somebody is successful that they're supposed to come back to the hood and stay. Like, black people, I've seen people get mad. They got mad at us because we moved out the projects, and they were still in there. I don't understand. Anytime a black person climbs up to make themselves better, you have people who look at them and tell them that's wrong. That doesn't make any sense.
I guarantee you that your success as a black person will still be judged by the worst person that is a part of your community. So therefore, if you have a part of your group that is doing very poorly, the most successful black person is not going to be able to reach their full potential.
That's why you break away from that group.
But you can't break away because you're still a part of the group because you're a part of that race.
You are
so
part of that race?
That person,
you can't
that person
that
is still going to be judged because it's still a part of that racial group.
Okay,
and if you have a particular racial group
that
is doing very poorly,
that
individual black person is not going to reach their full potential because they have to deal with, like, in terms of the whole perception of them as a people.
Hold on.
No, I think Oprah Winfrey reached
who they are as
white
people.
Kids go off to college, they don't have to come home and get back. Well, why do we?
I think Oprah Winfrey reached her full potential. I don't know how much higher she wants to go,
but if you're talking about a person like Oprah Winfrey, I mean, that's one in a million. Michael Jordan, Oprah Winfrey, those people are one in a million. I'm talking about the average successful black business person, black professional. They're not going to reach their full potential if they come from a racial group that is perceived as not being productive, as having problems. They're still going to have an obligation to help the members of their group who are not doing well. Every other ethnic group does it. The Chinese do it. The East Indians do it.
Philadelphia, hold on. This is why I think that every man should spend time in the military. Because when you spend time in the military, you go through their structure, you understand that, hey, I'm going to get promoted on what I do, okay? Or at least what it was when I was in there. Hey, I mean, I'm the only black man in my MOS in that squadron, and it didn't make a bit of difference because I had 13 individuals below me that looked nothing like me, and they had to do what I told them to.
Right. And, you know, I'm not looking for somebody to come back to my community and mentor my child. That's my responsibility.
But also, if you're in an organized organization like that, don't they tell you to play as a team player? You have to be involved as a team member as well. And if you have a member of your team that's not performing well, then you as a leader have to try to get that person to perform better, because you have to win as a team.
Well, there are consequences for poor performance in the military. You lose rank, or you lose.
Well, there's consequences for poor performance in every job you can think of in the world today. But what I'm saying is that if you come from an ethnic group that is having a very poor performance, you as a successful member of that group,
when it is 90 degrees out there in that sun and you running down there in Paris Island in that sand, trust me, that monkey don't care what color you is. If it's going to jump on your back, it's going to jump on your back.
Every ethnic group in the country today, Chinese, East Indian, people from the Middle East, whatever, they all do that. They all help. The poor members of their group, when they first come into the country, if you have a poor Chinese to come to America, he knows every person who's in business who's Chinese, who happens to be in that particular location they moved to, in that city that they moved to.
If that was the case, you wouldn't have poverty among these groups, when, in fact, you still do. You have poverty among these groups. We have here in Columbus what we consider Little Somalia. They're impoverished. They have little communities where they're poor.
Same thing with the
Asians down here. Same thing with the Latinos down here. They have their poverty amongst their own groups. It's not like it's just indicative.
I'm not saying they don't have their poverty. What I'm saying is that they do have a system in place in which when poor people come into those locations, they are introduced to the people who are in business in those cities.
Dude.
And also, in a lot of cases, those business people get them jobs in those cities as well.
Let me ask you something real quick. You want me to give you money.
I'm not going to – I get that part.
Let me ask you something real quick. Nobody's asking you to give anybody money.
Nobody
this is what happens with the African-American community. Young man grew up in the ghetto, hood, you know what I'm saying, grows off to college, creates wealth for himself, comes back and tries to talk to them. They throw their nose up at him because they don't want to hear it because, oh, you think you better than us. We ain't trying to hear what you got to say. Then what?
Because
that happens all the time. I've seen it, witnessed it myself.
But a lot of that division is because of the track record of behavior that's happened in the past where people who were black who were out in the suburbs, they didn't try to communicate with people who were in the community at all.
No, I'm sorry.
That was the problem.
This is a person that you knew. You also have to deal with the plantation mentality. He was a part of the community, because he made it out and it's successful. Now you don't want to hear anything. You call him a sellout. You tell him you don't want nothing to do with him because he's walking around in a suit instead of black baggy jeans, Tim's, his hat to the back, a fitted, and a jersey. Now you don't want to hear him because things are
different. But that all is a result of the plantation mentality that was embedded in the black mindset for a long time. So it's up to you as an educated, successful person to help to break that mentality by going out actually into those locations and trying to talk to people and trying to mentor people so that people are able to get out of those mentalities.
If the people don't want to hear it, there's nothing you can do.
Right. We equate guilt with success. We want to make you feel like you got to feel guilty for being successful. Man, fuck that, man. Forget that.
You got it. And listen, Philadelphia. Listen, the plantation mentality is not something that a child is born with. They have to learn that. Come on, they have to learn it. Nobody's born with it.
But that mentality is very prevalent in the black community today. That's what I'm saying. It's very prevalent today, and it's something that's hard to break. Only way you can break it, you have to get your educated members of your ethnic group to help to try to mentor small children so that those mentalities can be broken.
Listen, what you got to do is learn how to play the game.
I recently heard a news program recently where there was a wealthy white man who was who was up in the New York City area. He said the best thing he could do with his money was to give large sums of money out to charity, out to children who were living in the inner city who didn't have a chance in life, and he was trying to encourage other white business people in that particular city to also do the same.
So this process of giving is not confined by race. I go back to Youngstown, Ohio as much as I can, and I hate going back, but I go back to visit family, friends, and then my fiance lives out that way. So, my fiance, she's like, wow. But you know what the thing that I always get is? It's the same old, same old. No matter how much I try to talk to them, no matter how much I try to tell them and show them how much better they can do, they still don't want to hear it.
At some point,
you don't want to waste your time, like Tracy says, in beating a dead horse. And then you get worn out. And then the next person tries. I tried, and they ain't trying to hear it. So we can't blame others. We have to blame ourselves.
WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. If you're tired of my song, then you need to pray for sunshine. And when the sun shines, I'll go to something else. But right now, I need some help because I need vitamin D. And the sun went down and the weather is no longer as warm as it once was, and so you have to just deal with them. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Jeff and I are here in the studio. We've got South Carolina, Diva, Pam, Philadelphia, and Eric on the line, and we want you to call in, too. Again, that number is 347-945-5229. I just had some problems with this, and I'm sorry that I've belabored this throughout the show, but it is a
it is a mindset that I think we have to get past, because I don't understand if we don't get past it, then we can't go through the American, well, should I say, the impossible dream, which is the content of my character, not the color of my skin. And so if I'm always telling people to act black, then am I really doing the Martin Luther King thing, or am I just pimping him when I need him? That's the question.
Well, anyway, we have more pressing problems because...
Well, we ain't got any more pressing problems.
Oh, yeah. Biden warns Russia to pull back forces from Ukraine's borders.
That's not a problem.
That's not a problem.
That's not a problem. Our problem is, because right now, bombs don't hit the inner city.
Well,
you know, the Boston Marathon went on the other day, you know, like, you know, gangbusters. You know,
yeah.
In the terror...
Yeah, we killed about 40 you know, dissidents.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because last night, I'm quite sure 40 black men and black women died across this country.
Oh,
by black and black gunfire.
Two cities.
40. It was 44 were injured in Chicago, 8 was killed just over the Easter weekend.
Wait a minute, and that's because the sun came out. I mean,
Is that what he died for?
He died, so, yes. There you go. You with me?
Well,
Jesus died so we could go shoot up each other. But then we don't want to talk about Jesus because we don't believe in that no more.
You watch this one. This is going to be so crazy.
What?
Well, they have to do something. You have this one guy talking about killing off Christians. He's talking about purging them because they are the ones that cause all the problems in the earth. And so that is heavy in itself. How don't we see that the people that we're supporting right now are the ones that want to get rid of what you believe?
Jeff, can I tell you something?
Uh-uh.
The problem is we don't care.
That's what I'm saying. How do
you
see it?
Because we're not paying attention
to that. Yeah. They wouldn't do that to us. We ain't friends.
Definitely not.
Hey, they're killing them overseas wholesale right now.
Oh, you saw where they wanted to have all Jews to register now over in the Ukraine.
Ukraine.
Did you see that?
Yes, of course.
That doesn't mean anything.
No, what do you mean? They wouldn't do anything to those people. See.
No.
Hey, and then in the United States, this is hodgepodge here. You have a teacher that was watching porn in his classroom.
Yeah, I saw that
yesterday. He was a guy, talking to a female, I believe it was, and then all of a sudden, he said, my kids would love this. They'd love to see this. Now, I don't remember. I don't know whether he was middle school, what. And they won't fire him. They said he can get $200,000 in back pay. He can get...
Yeah. Have you heard of the... Was it here?
In the United States.
Where?
I forgot. I'm looking
Can
for
you it. Say NEA?
Oh, yeah. I can say NEA.
So what's wrong with that? What's the problem?
Well...
What's the problem, Jeff?
Well, I hear you. That's why
Let's close the charter schools in New York that are outperforming all the other schools. Because
that's
we care
right.
about those black kids. We care about those black kids, man.
They want you there, don't you? Now you're talking about being black and being white. Now that's where this rubber hits the road.
What?
Who do we still have out there? Kavina Man gone.
He got to go to work.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. He gets up early to listen to us.
Yeah, he does, and I appreciate that. Listen.
What?
When you sit up here and you let your schools not teach you a doggone thing.
Yeah.
So
what? And listen, when you get an education, you're acting white. Why do you want to act white?
I hear you.
Well,
acting white
I guess I must be... I must be getting whiter as the day goes on because I just entered a doctoral program and I started on 28. South Carolina. I had a question with South Carolina. Do you hear what they said about more veterans now that if they're more prone to be white supremacists when they come home?
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, I'm a white supremacist now.
Yeah, man, you a white supremacist.
Hey, man, you love the military, man. I wish I had a picture that they could see on radio of you.
Wait a minute,
white girl because of my education. It was different. It was because of the way I talked, the way I dressed. I guess because I didn't like to wear socks with my shoes.
You went to Woodrow Wilson High School.
Right. I went to all the schools. By the time I went to Wilson, it was starting to become predominantly black. I went to Princeton. I went to Martin Luther King. When it was Covington. And that was out in Westlake housing project.
Diva,
I don't understand what this you're acting white thing is. I mean,
so
I was
Diva,
just trying
so
to be
you
neat.
Did so you were, I was too proud. So and I got dogged out.
I did too in fourth grade I got dogged out because I thought I was acting white because I knew all the answers in school.
So my question is, Diva, I have a question for you, Diva. Mm-hmm. So all of these inner city women who are wearing these European weaves, are they acting white? Or are they being themselves?
No, because I wear a European weave wig.
Hey, you sweet white.
Say that again, Jeff.
I made a mistake. I made an assumption. I apologize. But you have a white boyfriend.
Who's got a white boyfriend?
Diva.
Well, she's acting white too.
That's
and
why she
call your mic is on.
Straight hair.
They've been calling me white since I was a little girl. Since I was maybe like
first grade. So if I date a white guy, am I acting white?
Yeah,
I've been told I wouldn't be white because I date. I've always been attracted to white guys.
So let me ask you this: so if a black man dates a white woman, is he acting white?
Yes.
No.
No.
Local call your mic
on. Master.
Yeah. This is Steve, man. I'm upset with you and Jeff. I
knew that was coming.
What, Steve? What, Steve?
News coming.
Stacy, I mean, maybe I misquoted myself by saying that I know that the 14th Amendment of the Constitution leaves two people in the government. I think it was Adlai Stevenson, and I forget the other person's name. Dr. Claude Anderson, he mentioned that we were added to the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. In other words,
Steve, what are you talking about?
So basically, the First Amendment and the Second Amendment don't apply to black people.
I should tell the Diva, if I was a cute young guy, I don't know if Diva would date me or not, but if I was much younger of a man and had some things worse for myself,
I knew it was coming.
Diva would be my girl. Go.
Diva said this to Steve. Diva said this to you. I guess I'll see you next lifetime.
Diva. Steve. How you get from the Constitution back your way into the younger man and get to throwing a line out at Diva? I don't understand.
Well, I was trying to you were throwing me off because I was trying to tell you that I was trying to say that when the Constitution was first written, you know, I think black people, including women, was excluded from the Constitution.
But what are you talking about? Don't nobody – we're not talking about the Constitution. I want to know what it means to be act black and talk white.
Black and talk white. Well, a lot of times I've often stated the only way we as black people could – truly get ahead is that we had to more like, you know, kiss up or sell out, and, you know, because that's what I've done. You know, a lot of times I've done it as a younger man.
Steve, you ain't sucked up, kissed white, and none of that. Shush!
Yes, I have. And when I was a young man, I have done it.
Done what? What did you do?
when I was younger, I took down my own people in the racial riots. I felt that was shouldn't even get involved in that.
But what does that acting right? That was half the black community. You know, 3/4 of the black community did not support Martin Luther King.
Only 10% of the churches supported Martin Luther King, so all of them were selling out. If you want to know the truth about it, but that's par for the course. But my question
they
is,
stirring up trouble.
Why is it that when our young people,
I didn't understand about Martin Luther King until I was about 16 years old.
But Steve, you wasn't old enough. But my question is, why is it we tell young black people when they go in to get an education they acting white?
Because of the disconnect that a lot of successful blacks have with the black community. They don't try to mentor.
In the world.
They don't try to
no.
come back and be of any assistance to people. Who
oh, Philadelphia, you lost your mind. That ain't why I'm acting white. The reason
why
we do, the reason
white.
Why we say that is because we want you to, we don't want to, a lot of times we don't want to work for nothing. We want somebody to come give us something, and if you ain't going to give it to us, we dog you out.
You're a Republican. That's what I get.
No, well, what you'll find is you have a lot of people who are working poor who work every day, but they don't make a lot of money who live in the black community. I don't think it's the sense that everybody's lazy and doesn't want to do anything. It's the fact they don't have the resources, they don't have the proper contacts to help to better themselves. And if you
don't
have successful black people coming and trying to build networks to allow people to lift themselves up, they don't see a way out.
They don't want to.
With the exception of being a doctor or a lawyer, nowadays you can pretty much go on the internet and learn how to do anything on your own.
You can become a doctor on the internet too. Just don't call me because I ain't coming to you.
Well, it's going to be something. They're rioting in Venezuela because nobody has money to support the systems out there. So that's going to be interesting.
I think the difference with the white community is they have networks that are present even before they enter high school or come out of high school. They basically even know what type of jobs they could potentially get based upon the context
so
of their
to tell
parents.
Me, hold on for a minute. So you can't tell me you don't know what you can want to become if I expose you to it?
No, what I'm saying is that a lot of poor black people, they don't have the resources. They don't have the network so that they can use that to better themselves. There are a lot of black people who live in the hood who work every day, but they don't work jobs that would pay them large sums of money.
Covina man.
You have to have a network behind that.
You don't have to get that job.
That's not going to be advertised in the newspaper.
No, listen.
It's only
going to
go through
Philadelphia. If you always sit
at
the black lunch table, and
the
you
what?
Don't integrate, and no, if you always sit at the black lunch table, if you always hang around what you always been around, you will always be where you are.
Do you chronic?
And every time somebody goes,
people
and
become trapped
out,
in these poor
they
communities.
Trapped.
They don't have the resources.
They don't. They're not about resources. It's about going out and just saying hi.
Hold on, but if they are becoming trapped, let's truth be told, they are a victim of their own demise. They're causing themselves because you have to look at people who come from the same area, same circumstances, who make it out. They make it out because they want to make it out. You have to want to get out of there. And
Diva,
really do
every time I get
it,
out, you call me a sellout.
You can't focus on what they're gonna call you because what's to say it ain't what you what they call you, it's what you answer to that matters.
So Diva, as a grown person, if you are a younger person than me and I come and tell you, don't sell out. What am I telling you?
I would tell you, I would give you some choice words myself, but I could care less what you're trying to tell me. It's what.
Diva, you're 17, you're 19, 20 years old, you're in college, and you come home and I tell you don't sell out. What does that mean?
Basically, somebody is telling you don't forget where you come from. Don't assimilate into white culture. Because a lot of
here we go. Now take a black woman, professional, and say don't assimilate into white culture, but yet she's going to go into the corporate world, and she's going to get promoted.
But
so
that's different.
That,
it's one thing. Well,
how's it different? Wait. Let's talk
it's
about
one
this.
Thing. You can still be a strong black woman and enter into the corporate world and get promoted.
No, you cannot.
It's another thing when you look at black people and think that they're beneath you and they're no longer good for you because you've assimilated into this white world.
Diva, listen. When you go into the white corporate world, remember, the problem with the corporate world is that when you go in there, you wear a dark suit, a light shirt, and low heels and short nails. You
yeah,
assimilate
you
to where
you're.
You hold on.
Go up there with ABW syndrome.
That's right. And you go in, you assimilate to your community. You cannot go in there with fuchsia nails, a fuchsia suit, and stilettos on and think you're going to assimilate to their culture and think you're going to climb up Wall Street's ladder because you're not going to make it.
That's right.
If you go in there talking the your Ebonics, no matter if you can't speak the King's English, you will not make it up the corporate ladder. If you go in there and think you are better than anyone and don't play the politics of their office, you will not matriculate up the corporate ladder. It is what it is. You must become a product of your environment if you're going to play the game right.
Well, that's without a doubt. But the only thing we're saying is that you have to have a spirit of charity. If you are a black person and you come from these poor neighborhoods.
Hold on.
And these communities.
Philadelphia.
You still have to have that spirit where you want to get back.
Philadelphia. Ain't nobody, and I said it right, ain't nobody black right now got the spirit of charity, because if they had the spirit of charity, our community would not look like it does, nor would our historically black colleges be where they are. You cannot tell me that we can spend as much money as we do on the runway trying to get to the Image Awards for the NAACP and not have that much money in the bank nationwide.
But that's what I'm saying. That's the problem is you don't have people that have...
We do. We have it, and it's not our priority. But you don't see them talking about Lil Wayne and IT and TI and PP and all them people selling out. They ain't selling out. Yet they sell you out every time they open up their mouth and make a record.
Yep. But I know Uncle Tom.
Every time you go in and vote, and we don't tell you the truth about the candidates and what you're voting for because they didn't put a dime in our pocket, we are selling people out. And when we come out and tell you the truth, what you're selling, you know y'all selling out. No, we ain't selling out. We're telling you he's a thug because he's going to sell you to the highest bidder.
And also, in terms of the music, no other ethnic group allows their members to be depicted with these types of language that they use
so
in a lot of these rap songs.
So Philadelphia,
allows their women to be depicted that way
in the media. Why am I the sellout? That's the question. I'm the sellout because I tell you the truth?
Primarily.
Ms. Pam, your mic is on.
Yeah, what I wanted to say was... We've been on this subject for almost 2 hours, and you haven't gotten no three people to agree with what it means to be black. But when you first came on, you were saying about things that was bothering you, and you were talking about them taking In God We Trust out of the Pledge of Allegiance. If you go back anywhere before the middle 1940s, you will find there was no under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. That was put in there after World War II.
I know.
So for them to take it out, I guess maybe they feel like you said, we've gotten to be a godless country, so why would you have it in there?
But Ms. Pam, but the thing is, when you come to America, and that goes back to what I'm saying about coming into a black community, we have allowed other people to come into our community and hijack and turn it into something that it's not. We talk about America, and we allow people to come to America and turn it into something that it's not. We allow people to come into the black community and turn it into something that it's not. And then right now, if you look at society at large, we are all losing. No one's getting ahead, and we keep on morphing into something that is destroying us. It's eating us from the inside out, and we wonder what's wrong with us.
Well, you know, they have already I mean, what this country was founded on and the Constitution, it has been hijacked anyway because it's not what it says it was. I think it was the young man that was your host with you yesterday when he said there is nothing in the Constitution about a standing army. But yet we're running all over the world trying to dictate with our army what people should and shouldn't do. The army was made as a militia to protect the people here in this country. It wasn't supposed to go over the world to try to dictate to the world how they live. We have
walked
away
change?
From the Constitution. So
until
they're not teaching in the black neighborhood, most of the people in the black neighborhood, they're not even teaching the Constitution. They don't even know what it means. So we have a problem. And all I'm saying is until we educate our kids in our neighborhood and let them know what is really expected of them, they will never know. And like Jeffrey says, the teachers that are in our community are not teaching our kids.
But, Ms. Pam, listen, the teachers in our community, and I want to go back to this. During segregation, Jim Crow, as well as the early 70s, those teachers were so scared of those black kids in that school, they didn't know what to do. And they told us to learn what they had.
But you know what? It's the same now. They're still afraid of our kids. That's why you have teachers
Ms. Pam.
Who say that when they can't control the kids, they put them on drugs and things.
Ms. Pam, but they ought to be, some of our kids, we ought to be, they need to be scared of.
I think that if you're afraid of a kid, then you shouldn't be a teacher.
Ms. Pam,
I really
some of our children, Ms. Pam,
think that if you're
our children,
child,
we send our children to school, and we need to be afraid of them because we have not taught them any discipline nor right from wrong before
we send
them. But you
know what? You're lumping everybody in the same boat, and that is the problem with what you're saying when you're saying.
But what I'm saying is when you have the majority, when you have
everybody in the same boat,
when you have four students in your classroom. And they disrupt your educational process for the first 20 minutes of your 40 minutes. You disrupt the whole classroom.
Those kids should be in the classroom, but you let the government tell you that if you got a kid that's disruptive, you can't separate them because that's discrimination.
That's
me,
what you've done.
I was going to school, if you disrupt.
Pam, that's the point right there. That's a very excellent point. That they told you that they had to bring them back into the classroom and you let them do it. Not you in particular, of course. But we're talking about in the black community. The black community just left, well, they must know better. So
they
we're going to just let them. Well,
they
you hear what I'm saying?
What I'm saying is when we tell the truth about what's going on in our community, they tell us we've just sold you out. That's the point. Well, no, Ms. Pam, this is the point. You asked me, and this is where the crux comes in. I said, what is acting black? Acting black is standing up for what is right. And if I know that you're destroying my children because you're not giving them an education and you shoot me, I'm trying to act black because I'm telling you that education is the new Jim Crow. It is the new slavery.
I'm not arguing
with you, Ms. Pam, but what I'm saying is our young people are dying on the vine, and they're telling us to don't act white, which means whatever that means, and then act black and don't forget where you came from. What does that mean? And that's a bad communication to tell young people when we just need to tell them to do that which is right. That's, you said that we called in and we talked about this almost 2.5 hours. We have. And my issue is our young people need to stand up and do what's right, not what's black. And if we teach them this in our own mindset and quit teaching them about being black but teaching them about doing what's right, we win.
Tracy, if you teach a kid about doing right, they are going to do what their nationality tells them to do. And we are just, like I keep hearing
there's
this.
There's no nationality between right and wrong.
You know, I was always brought up to do the right thing. I've never been on drugs. I've never been in jail. I've never had, as a matter of fact, the only time I ever got a parking ticket was when the stores was downtown and I was illegally parked to go into a sale. Other than that, and I've been in Youngstown for 47 years.
I'm just trying to say,
with the law.
That's you.
Never expected anybody to do anything for me. Always had a job. Now I'm retired. I don't worry about it because I get enough money to take care of myself. I went to the doctor the other day, and I got a bill from the doctor for $257. I've never got that kind of bill. But I didn't complain about it because I know that they said that my bill was going to go up. So you know what I did? I called the hospital, and I decided, and I made arrangements with them to pay it at one-third at a time. So I'm paying that bill off. I sent in $86 this month.
Listen, you're always paid off. But, and I understand, but what I'm saying is,
if you're brought up by, if you came up like I came up, then you came up knowing who you are. And what I was a black young lady. I was a black woman.
But that's not black.
I'm still a black woman. And I understand what it means to be a black woman.
Miss Pam, that's not black. That's just right. Because right and wrong, that has no color. When did right and wrong have a color to it?
And that's one of the keys. There's so much being said.
So what I'm
here.
Saying is we can sit here.
Right and wrong has no color. Hold on, Miss Pam.
Have a different idea what it means to be black.
Miss Pam, what I'm saying, the different, this is not about an idea. It's about what you tell someone. You have to understand, because my perception of it's going to be different. And what I'm saying is we need to change our language when we talk to young people about talking about acting white and staying black. 953, your mic is on.
Yeah, Tracy's Reds just gave me a call. And I was just, you know, I was listening to your conversation and stuff, and I have a question for yourself and maybe for some of your other panel right there in general. What is so wrong about a statement being made, stay black? What's wrong with that? Every
what
other
does it
nationality.
Mean,
now, wait a minute. Let me say my piece. Every other nationality in this country celebrates and always they teach their young to remember their heritage and who they are. But yet I hear you saying all day long like it's something wrong in general because a person makes a statement, you know, remember
what is your heritage?
To stay black.
Reggie,
pardon
Reg,
me?
Reg,
yeah.
What is when I tell you to stay black, what does that mean to you?
It means for me to stay black, not to forget where I've come from, what my people in general has to deal with the war rate in this country in general, and try to do better for myself. And when I maybe get to a point to where I'm able to maybe get a little bit ahead in the game, to try to reach down and help somebody else. And that's
Reg.
No more. Wait,
Reg.
wait, Tracy. Tracy,
that's
can
what
I,
that
can
means
I finish?
For you. No.
Wait, can I
my question is, so what does it mean by acting
white? No. Tracy, if you're going to talk like that, then
I don't
I'll
have
let
that
you
much
go.
Time, Reg. Reg, so you got to go because I don't have that much
time.
I'm going to take a break. I want you to get this out. So what does it mean when I say acting white? Reg,
come on, Tracy.
What does it mean?
That's right. I'll talk to you some other time. You're being very ignorant on this.
Very good. Because it's something very, very important because when you talk about acting black, giving back to the community is good. But who's doing it? I'll be right back.
2014 Women's Rally in the Valley, April 20th.
Hello?
Yeah, hello?
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 Who is this?
I'm calling from Philadelphia.
Oh.
I think
the
host
is Tracy's show a little while ago.
Yeah, I was speaking on. She was asking, "What is acting black?" And I was trying to explain to her that there are poor people who live in the community.
Well, you know
who,
what?
Who have jobs, who work every day, who are the working poor, but their children are going to public schools. They don't have access to the same resources as people who are wealthy who live out in the suburbs. They don't have the same contacts. They don't have the same types of networks in terms of when their children graduate from school, that's going
I
to determine what
you.
Type of jobs
and,
they can get.
And the inner city children are not being taught at the same rate that they're
right.
being taught out in the suburbs.
Right.
So
that,
we
and,
have a problem. In Youngstown,
right.
our black kids are 65% of the school population here. We only make up about 42% of the city's population, but most of we got 85% of our teachers are white females that live outside of the city that don't know anything about our kids' culture. Therefore,
right.
they don't teach them. This is April. April is Hispanic Heritage Month. They're
right.
going to be teaching Hispanic kids in our school. What they call it, Santo Domingo, or whatever it is that day, how young white Spanish girls become, they go through the rites of passage, but they don't have anything to teach black kids about the rites of passage because our black people are trying to assimilate
right.
into the white community.
And that's what
that's,
I'm saying is
you cannot tell Tracy. Let me tell you, Tracy, I know her very well. We're good friends. Tracy used to be on our school board. When Tracy was on the school board, you hear her on the radio, she sounded like she was so great with the girls that, you know, that was with our school system. But when she was there, she left the school board to run for an office, which was the president of city council. She's never been a council person. She's never been out there in the community. But yet she wanted to be the president of the council and never been a council person. So
right.
she abandoned our kids to go for a higher promotion to get money. But when she didn't make it, then she come up with the radio show. So
mm-hmm.
now she's an expert on our kids, but she was never out there.
Right. Well, I'm saying from what I know when people who come from other races, when they come into a city, they are introduced to the people who are successful, if those people happen to be part of their ethnic group, and also in a lot of cases, they're given jobs by people who are Chinese or East Indian as soon as they enter into the city.
Here's
so
the
that's the reason
into.
Why you
okay.
don't see a lot of Asians getting involved in crime
Listen.
And so forth because as soon as they immigrate to a particular city, that person is given a job. And they're given a job by the business people who are Asian who live in that city. That type of process does not happen in the African-American groups of people.
No, it don't. And to me, what it would mean when, like when someone was talking about when you get rich, you go back to the community. Now, we have a couple of people here in our city. We have a person that come here, and he opened up. He went away from here to New Orleans, and he got successful down there. He was here before. He came back. He opened up a restaurant. He's got one of the biggest barbecue restaurants in Youngstown. He hires all black. He got hired black people in his restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So he came back into the community. He invested in the community, so he put people to work in his community. That's what it means. It don't mean give away something. Nobody
right.
with good sense would go out and
That's
give
right.
it and come back and just give it to somebody.
That's right.
But you
it's about having the spirit
community.
Of charity to help people who are less fortunate than you.
We have
That's
a young man
about.
Here. He got a bus company, and to me, He's got the most polite drivers there is on his bus company. I've used him a couple of times when I took kids on educational tours. We went to Washington, D.C., down to Tony Broder's place to see him with the Egypt on the Potomac. We took us out, and he showed us how Washington, D.C. is built on a replica of the capital of Egypt, which was Memphis, and the reflecting pool that they call down in Washington, D.C., where they call it down at the bay, where they got all of the statues. He showed us how they copied it off of Egypt. So we went down there. We had an educational tour. I also took the kids to Baltimore, Maryland, where they have a black wax museum, where they have all of the black history. They have all of the, like, Harriet Tubman, Hannibal, all the black people that were in our past history. They
have I've been to that museum. That's a nice museum.
There. His bus drivers were the most polite people that I have ever seen. So he's given jobs back to the community. That's
right.
What it means by investing and acting black. Don't forget
right.
to be black. Come back
right.
to your community and give something.
Right, and give something. And but that's what I was trying to say to her on the radio. That's what it means to act black, to give back to people who are less fortunate than you. I've recently heard of a Caucasian man who was a business person. He was up in the New York City area. He said the greatest thing he could do in his life was to give back to charity because he couldn't spend all of the money that he was able to accumulate over his lifetime. It would be better for him to set up charities and to give that money away, and he was giving it away to children who were black and Hispanic who were living in the hood.
And I agree. I mean, I don't think that all white people are bad. I don't believe that all black people are bad. I just believe that black people, like someone said, I was listening in the chat room when they were talking about how after the Civil War, Lincoln had signed into effect that we would get 40 acres and a mule. Okay, he was assassinated, and when Johnson came in, Johnson was a Southerner, and he owned slaves, so he repealed that, and we never got the 40 acres and a mule. But when they opened out west and they were letting people go out there and had the land rush, black people weren't allowed to go out there. The only black people that got out west went out west with the Indians that owned slaves, Oklahoma.
Right.
Well, it was Johnson that had it. It was like he killed anyway.
Who were slaves of the Indians, and when the Indians went further west.
Hey,
we're
back.
You're
listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I wanted to get this off my chest. And I know that I probably belabored the conversation longer than maybe people wanted to hang in there. But I find that it is something that needs to come out. It needs to be – the can needs to come off, and we need to get over it and get past it, because inside of our community, we are very, very hypocritical in our stay black, act white mentality. Our problems in our community are so multifaceted. And we're always singing to stay black, but we don't want to work at it. And if you want to stay black, that means those of us that don't have anything, we still use our own labor to go back into the black community to pull everyone up and out. And you can't do that when you allow your black boys and your black girls to become non-productive citizens in this society and in our community. When you allow them to go to schools and don't get an education. When you allow them to be disrespectful to adults and not respect authority. You can't say that you're staying black. And when we still think that acting white is talking the king's English and putting on a suit and tie and putting on a belt and a pair of khakis and not smoking reefer.
Well, I can tell you, from living in the city I live in, there's a lot of black kids who were striving to get an education who live in the hood or in or who live in poor types of communities, and their parents are striving for them to go to college as well, and their parents are people who work every day. But they don't have the same resources as people who live out in the suburbs. So that's not always the case that everybody who lives in the hood is basically trying to pull people down and trying to tell other people that
they're
white and they're trying to get an education. That's not the case.
Philadelphia. What in the world? Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to school and you work hard enough, it is easier for you to get an academic scholarship than it is for you to get an athletic scholarship.
That's, in terms of the academic scholarships, now, I happen to know of people who actually, they kind of came up in the projects, but they were able to get into some of the magnet high schools in the city, and as a result, they were able to go on to college.
Okay.
And when they applied for the academic scholarships, there's only a certain amount of scholarships that happen to be given out. And if you're looking at the most prestigious colleges,
you don't have to.
The chances of acceptance,
Philadelphia, sweetie,
are very low. So therefore, if you're trying to go to one of the state-sponsored scholarships, state-sponsored colleges, there's only a certain number of scholarships they can actually give out. And most of the time, people have to get financial aid to help to pay for their tuition. So most of the students are on large amounts of financial aid.
Stop. I don't care if you got to get a loan.
What I'm telling you is what I know from experience.
I don't care. Get a school loan. Everybody got loans.
And I paid it back.
So what if you got to borrow some money to go to college? And so what if you got to eat oatmeal to pay it back? Get it.
I had to borrow $30,000 for school. So
what?
Most of the students, that's exactly what they do.
Listen,
they borrow money. They
also
work during the semester to help pay their expenses.
What's wrong with that?
They have a part-time job. They have work study. They do all of
that. What's wrong with that?
I'm not saying anything is wrong with that.
$10 a month.
But it's not the case where you have all these people who are living in the hood who are trying to tell black people who happen to live there, if they're trying to go to college, that if they're trying to go to college, that person is acting white. That's not, that's not happening across the board as you're saying. That's not happening all the time.
Philadelphia, I will say
this. You have a lot of people who were striving very hard to get out of these poor neighborhoods, and they're doing everything possible to do so.
Listen, has anybody told you that stay black?
When people say stay black.
Yes or no. Yes or no.
When a person says stay black, what they're referring to is having a...
I didn't ask you to explain. Has anybody in your lifetime told you to stay black? Can you answer that question, yes or no?
Well, as far as me personally, no.
Has anybody told you you were acting white?
As far as me personally, no, they haven't told me that, no.
Jeff?
Absolutely.
South Carolina?
100%.
Eric?
All the time.
So what's wrong with us? We're from the land of misfit toys.
I was told I was acting white because my dad dropped me off at school.
That's a good one.
What I'm saying is I'm just tired of people using stuff as an excuse. I talked to a young man the other day who decided that he wanted to go to college. So he started himself a paper route.
Mm-hmm.
He started himself a paper business, went out and got him a raggedy van.
Yep.
He worked 7 days, all holidays, because the paper comes out every day.
Everybody.
But he would have some money so he could work on his own time early in the morning so he could pay for his school because he no longer wanted to be in labor.
Right.
And he's a doctor today.
My high school geometry teacher did the same thing. He used to be our paper boy for the longest till me and another guy took the route over.
What's wrong with that, Jeff?
Nothing. But see, here it goes again.
I think you might have a problem in terms of your interpretation of what people mean when they say acting black. What they may be referring to is that people who have been given a lot in life, that they're able to give back to the places where they come from. That's what they mean by acting black and not forgetting where the person came from.
But at the same time, when you go to school on a scholarship,
they're not
making
the assumption
that
a person is trying to be European or trying to be white because they want to be successful, because they want to get an education.
I think you may
have a problem in terms of your interpretation of what people are actually saying.
No, listen, they shouldn't be saying it because it doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't.
It's a bunch of words that has a different definition based on a bunch of crazy stuff, and then that gives them a cause that when you change and don't think like they do, they can say that you're acting white.
Of a lot of people who grew up in the projects, who they sent their kids to college, and their kids have all types of master's degrees and PhDs today.
Okay.
So it's not the case that everybody who grows up in the projects is trying to stay there. There happens to be a lot of people who are trying to get out.
What's wrong with that?
And who are trying to get their families out as well.
But the ones that are in there are saying to people, stay black. Don't forget your blackness. And the thing is I know that
they mean a myriad of things about that.
I understand that. But at the same time, when you look at what goes on inside of that community, it does not bode well because it makes it look like you're telling them to stay ignorant, stay into a bass, awkward state, et cetera, et cetera.
Here's the thing, that's the problem.
Projects
are not communities. They are projects, hence the word experiment. So we need – that's the my whole issue with this thing here.
So we're trying to make something out of an experiment.
They crowded you and lumped you into a neighborhood called a project, just like even though the Jews had their own culture, they had the ghettos of Europe and Germany. But the thing is they had a culture in that, and they were not poor. But here it is here, we're poor because we don't have access to capital. We don't have access to certain things. And the thing is we're not trying to.
And the government actually put you there as an experiment to see how you would act.
How you would act.
And they made you poor. I got to go. I'll see you guys tomorrow. God bless and have a good day.